shot and was killed tonight.
I will never tell you the start record you made.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Good golly, you need to get up. You need to get to me. Good golly, we have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Can I just share some observations with you? If you don't mind, can I just take a moment of your time and while you're getting ready to get to work or while you're just laying in bed there thinking about getting up and starting this Monday, let me give you a couple of things to ponder upon. Because our good government would take the position that they have the right, the inalienable right, to scare the bejesus out of you and keep you in bed with your covers over your head, at least until the next election. They want to frighten you, they want to push you, they want you to embrace the idea that they should be able to spy on you whenever, whatever, however they want to, and any question that you have, they can't tell you, because they'd have to tell you a secret and then they'd have to kill you. So they are trying to keep you too scared to ask, too scared to care, too scared to confront. I know some of you got the covers over your head because your good government is trying to get you to keep your covers there. And they want everybody under the covers for different reasons. But I want you to ponder this as you sit trembling under your covers. Think about this. 11 days ago, we were told that a plot was foiled by the same folks who shot that man in the back with the coat, our good British friends. We were told by them that there was something imminent that would bring about a terrorist plot that was imminent. Y'all know what that word means, imminent. Get fixing to happen right away. That would bring about mass murder on an unbelievable scale. That's what they said. That's what they told us. That's what they said. Mass murder on an unbelievable scale, and this is imminent. One would think that if you have an imminent crime, that somebody would have been charged with the crime by now, 11 days afterwards. If you know exactly what they're immediately getting ready to do, and it's going to bring about mass murder on an unbelievable scale, how come 11 days later not one person has been charged with the crime? Not one. And they said they had 24 of them. Huh? You should be poking your little heads from under your covers saying, huh? If they had evidence of an imminent mass murder on an unbelievable scale, why did they quietly release, without charge, one of the people? And again, we were told imminent mass murder on an unbelievable scale. If you have an imminent mass murder, shouldn't somebody have a bomb somewhere? Shouldn't somebody have a bomb somewhere? Not a box cutter in their toolbox. Shouldn't somebody have a bomb somewhere? None of the 24 that they've arrested had made a bomb or had a bomb. Imminent mass murder of an unbelievable scale. None of them had purchased a plane ticket. Imminent mass murder of an unbelievable scale. If nobody has purchased a ticket, what are you talking about? An imminent mass murder of an unbelievable scale. Many of the 24 that they arrested didn't even have passports. What do you say when they tell you it's an imminent mass murder of an unbelievable scale? You know what they confessed in their assessment? This is unbelievable. This is totally unbelievable. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Stay with me.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack. So check weather at yahoo.com. And then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show. Every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Greetings, St. Louis. For a fresh approach on the local sporting scene, check out The Oliver Show, Mondays from 7 to 8 p.m. on WGNU, 920 AM.
The St. Louis Art Museum presents flamenco guitarist Liam Christie on Friday at 6 p.m. This performance is part of the Art Museum's Art After 5 series. Tapas and beverages will be available from Puck's Restaurant during the performance. Admission is free. For more information, call 314-721-0072 or visit slam.org. Musical news to you from WGNU.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, freelance writer and journalist Joe Wood talks about his book, Dirty Water. The work is a new nonfiction narrative that discusses the events surrounding a mysterious lynching that took place right here in St. Louis back in 1894. We'll also find out more about his artistic illustrations and other things that he's into. Don't miss hometown success story Joe Wood, coming up on Mondays at 9. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Baby, don't cry. This is Liz Brown. Living my life as an African and loving it. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. I ain't done yet. This alleged imminent mass murder on an unbelievable scale. Crime that was supposed to have happened 11 days ago where 24 people were arrested. One of them was let loose. Nobody had a plane ticket. None of them had made a bomb. Many of them didn't have passports. If any of them are tried for and bringing about an imminent crime, how do you do that? That's like saying, he was getting ready to kill me. He didn't have a weapon. How do you charge somebody with getting ready to kill somebody when they don't have a weapon? Okay, there are other pieces of evidence. Okay, but the charge is imminent. Imminent. It was minutes away from happening. I've never heard of an imminent act that takes place over the course of a year. Never heard of that. Now understand this. These people, many of the people that have been arrested, had been under surveillance for more than a year. Okay, they've been watching these folks. They have been watching these folks. In fact, more than 1,000 British Muslims have been arrested since Britain had their own anti-terrorism legislation. But only 12% have been charged, okay? 12% of 1,000 British Muslims have been charged. I mean, have been arrested. 12% of 1,000 British Muslims have been arrested. Only 12% of that 1,000 have been charged. And 80% of those have been acquitted of the charges. Convictions of the 1,000 British Muslims that have been arrested, convictions rate is 2%, and none of the convictions have anything to do with terrorism. Oh yeah, let's trust these dudes, these blokes. Let's trust these blokes. Help me with this. Oh yeah. An election's coming up. Joe Lieberman sees this and is running with it. And FYI, Joe Lieberman is leading in the polls in Connecticut. Because Republicans are coming on board. Republicans are coming on board. Along with some independents. Democrats better shake their Democratic tail feathers and get out there. Because if Joe Lieberman wins, woe to all of us. Democrats better understand what this man is about. And if you want to feel another fear factor, they're coming for your internet. They're coming for your internet. But let me tell you how. These people think we're fools. These people think that we are children with ADD. They think that we don't have the ability to concentrate and focus on all of the things that they are doing to us, at us, about us, and at our expense. And they're just making stuff up. They just making stuff up. Alberto Gonzalez said on Friday, Islamic extremists are taking advantage of more than 5,000 websites to train and coordinate internationally. But here is the thing. If this is not Carl Rovian, my name is not Liz Brownian. Okay. He has created a phrase that the terrorists are now being radicalized by the internet. Radicalized by the internet. And the terrorists that are radicalized by the internet, they're worse than any other terrorist that's out there. They think we so dang stupid. They think we're so dang stupid. Not to mention the fact that in the British newspapers, America is being criticized because the British newspapers are saying that the United States prompted British authorities to move prematurely against this London area cell. You know, the one that brought about the imminent crime of mass murder of unbelievable scale. Apparently the United States pushed Great Britain to come out quick on that. Huh? How'd that work out for everybody? Alberto Gonzalez is talking about the radicalization of terrorists by the internet. There are 5,000, between 5,000 and 6,000 extreme websites on the internet. Each one is encouraging extremists to cultivate relationships with like-minded people. This radicalization is happening online and therefore can develop anywhere in virtually any neighbor and in any country. Militants, and these are his words. Hear this book. Is he doing crack? This just doesn't make any kind of sense at all. Alberto Gonzalez is saying, militants radicalized on the internet might be more dangerous than those trained by Al-Qaeda in terrorist camps in Afghanistan before September 11th. Okay, I'm really trying hard not to cuss right now. Alberto Gonzalez is looking you dead in the face as the Attorney General for the United States of America. And he is saying that the dudes that read about it on the internet are more dangerous than the dudes that practice over the summer and winter months to get stuff done. And then we need to put, everybody should go to school on the internet. Because we apparently we learn better on the internet than we do in schoolrooms. Everything should be done on the internet. That's the most ridiculous hunk of stuff I've ever heard in my life. They're more dangerous than the people that blew up the building. Where's the proof of that? I get the proof of the people that you say blew up the building because they have the evidence of it. Where's the proof that these guys on the internet are more dangerous? Where's the proof besides in your little mind? Yeah. Maybe the proof is up there on the moon, right next to that flag waving in the wind. Thanks, Howard. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic. Northbound 55 at Imperial, there's an object on a roadway. No delays at this hour. Eastbound 70 at Blanchett Bridge and Earth City Expressway, look for an accident. Right lane is blocked. Eastbound 44 at Allington Six Flags, look for a disabled vehicle on the right shoulder. Westbound 270 at 367 and New Florissant, look for normal traffic. Northbound 270 at 44 is on the move. Eastbound 70 at 79 looks good at this hour. And all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect no delays. Westbound 255, however, at Jefferson Barracks Bridge, look for road construction. Right lanes closed. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic. Driving to Sonic for the new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito. Crispy jalapeno strips plus spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it today with your favorite drink because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly cloudy, high in the mid-80s today, mostly clear, low in the mid-60s this evening. Partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s on Tuesday, and partly cloudy with a high near 90 on Wednesday. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 68 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 70 degrees. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Been keeping up with all the speculation surrounding the recent illness of Cuban President Fidel Castro? Is there about to be a regime change of sorts? Tuesday morning at 7, Ricardo Alacon, the president of the Cuban Parliament, joins Liz Brown on the wake-up call to talk about what is really happening in that part of the world. Will Castro step aside? Is there a Central and South American alliance in the works? Does American policy have the same impact in the region that it once had? These and more topics for discussion with Ricardo Alacon, President of the Cuban Parliament, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown.
Hi, I'm Veronica O'Brien, your president for the St. Louis Board of Education. I would like to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This year will be one of our most exciting, with new leadership and renewed enthusiasm. Students, parents, and community, we welcome you back. Remember, education is the key to your success, and it starts on the first day of school for St. Louis Public School District, Monday, August 28th.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
This is Jim Curran, Current Events. I'm delighted to say that Current Events is now on Monday nights from 8 to 10 o'clock. Current Events, where we encourage discussions for both sides of an issue. That way we can learn from each other. That's Jim Curran, Current Events, Monday nights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on AM 920 WGNU, the station for the issues that matter most.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, freelance writer and journalist Joe Wood talks about his book, Dirty Water. The work is a new nonfiction narrative that discusses the events surrounding a mysterious lynching that took place right here in St. Louis back in 1894. We'll also find out more about his artistic illustrations and other things that he's into. Don't miss hometown success story Joe Wood, coming up on Mondays at 9. The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I want to talk about the so-called mass news media. It appears to me that it's a lot of propaganda and hidden agendas because they had this man, he appears to be very mentally disturbed. They had his picture and news report about this John Carr. They had his story all over the news media, front page stories, radio, everything. And at the same time, we had Israel breaking the ceasefire, going into way into Lebanon, near Syria and Iran's borders, bombing bridges, killing up Palestinians, and they also went near the border into Palestine and killed Palestinians there, and that is breaking the peace agreement. Nothing was said about that, and I think that was more egregious and more important than having John Carr's picture all over the place. And it also ties in with, I think, about what Mel Gibson said. He said, in essence, that Israel, they were war mongrels. And that is perfectly true. What is anti-Semitic about that? I have never heard one thing he said, at least they didn't report, why he would be called anti-Semitic.
He didn't say Israel. He said Jews.
He said that Jews were war mongrels.
Mongrels are
all over the world.
Mongers, not mongrels. Mongers. He said Jews. He didn't say Israel.
Well,
that's
maybe
why
he was so drunk. Maybe he misspoke. But they are war mongrels. They do start wars. I mean, and they're always fighting. And just like they broke the ceasefire, it was supposed to have been a truce, and they, in essence, said they're going to do whatever they want to do. And that is, I mean, that is their belief, that they can do, kill as many people as they want to, whenever they want to, attack anyone they want to. And to me, that they are war mongrels.
Thanks for your call, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Traditional fundraising advantage has normally gone to the Republican Party. Why? Because they're the incumbents. That support is eroding in many closely watched House races. And if we look at disclosure forms as omens, the last batch of disclosure forms filed with the FEC suggest that incumbency no longer means that embattled Republican representatives can expect to overwhelm financially weakly funded Democrats. They can't overspend them. Check this out. There are 27 Republican incumbents classified by this nonpartisan group called the Cook Political Report as the most vulnerable in losing re-election this fall. Now, truth be told, they still have a financial fundraising edge, but it is much less pronounced than it was a year ago, a year before that. According to calculations made from the FEC data, Democrats that are challenging these 27 Republicans have raised about 60% of what their opponents have collected, and they have about the same percentage of money on hand. Now, compare and contrast this to 2004, where the same polling place or same data collecting entity, the Cook Political Report, Cook listed 9 Republican incumbents as similarly vulnerable. However, their Democratic opponents had only been able to raise 42% of what their opponents collected. And their challengers' cash on hand at that time in 2004 was lower. Democrats have been raising money. Democrats have been raising money. It's a different world. I'm still concerned about Connecticut. I would hate to see Joe Lieberman win. I would hate to see Joe Lieberman win. Democrats better go handle their business. Democrats may have better go handle their business. And check this out. George Allen. Remember we talked about him with the Makata vote, with the Makata comment, which means monkey. He called an Indian American a monkey. And said, I didn't know that meant that. I would like someone to do the odds of someone muttering a made-up word that actually means something negative in somebody else's language. What are the odds of that happening? What are the odds of that happening? But that, yet and still, that is George Allen's defense. Well, apparently, it's gotten out there. And it is inspiring his Democratic opponent. Huh. We're going to keep a watch on this. We're going to keep a watch on this. The Democratic opponent has gotten a little bit of a surge. And because we had George Allen, Republican senator from Virginia, racistly called an Indian man a monkey in another language and said, "Welcome to America." He's getting some support. Maybe he's going to have to put his Confederate flag pin back in his hope chest. In his hope chest. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Is this serendipitous? Or does God just have a sense of humor? Does it seem karma-esque? Does it seem circular that this would happen? Scooter Libby was asking that certain classified information, certain classified documents be released to him for him in preparation of his trial. Now, Scooter Libby is the hack that used to be the voice for Dick Cheney. Scooter Libby stood before us, and Dick Cheney slithered behind the doors, yakking at us, saying that we did not have a right to find out who was at that energy meeting that Dick Cheney had at his office. Dick Cheney has said the word, "We're entitled to not tell you this because of secrecy," so many times that's all, it seems like that's all he says. So does it not seem a bit serendipitous? Does it not seem a bit karma-ish? Does it not seem that God has a sense of humor? When Scooter Libby asked for some secret classified documents in order to prepare for his trial, the judge said, "No, you cannot have them." There, you know, that means that if that's not karma, I don't know what. Why would he get what he kept from us? Oh, now you get to get double, triple secret documents, but the rest of us can't find out about what meeting your boss had up in his office, our office. Ain't that some stuff? Scooter asked for some, and that, you know, that's kind of that. You got some on you now. To ask for secret documents. But the judge said, in a word, "No, you may not have them." Judge Reggie Walton said that he had carefully reviewed the requests and found that the documents should be omitted from the classified materials requested by Libby's attorneys. In one of those karma moments, she said that these documents are extremely sensitive and their disclosure could cause serious, if not grave, damage to the national security of the United States. No, Scooter. Scoot along. You're not getting these documents. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Tuesday morning at 8, the wake-up call welcomes former Illinois Congressman Paul Finley to the microphone. He'll be discussing the influence that the Israeli lobby group has over policymaking in Washington. He recently wrote an op-ed piece that said the opponent to Representative Cynthia McKinney had gotten hooked up with the pro-Israeli fundraising network. The Israeli lobby helped defeat her 4 years ago, and she's lost again. You might be shocked at who's actually running things in Washington. Join former Congressman Paul Findlay Tuesday morning at 8 here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline London. A number of Muslim leaders in Britain are questioning the arrest of those 24 people in connection with the plot to blow up several airliners traveling to the United States. Authorities got a court order last Wednesday to hold the group for another week, but there's now speculation that perhaps there was no evidence to begin with, and it's only been recently that investigators are starting to put their case together. The director of the Muslim Institute in Britain says no explosive liquids have been found, and none of those accused of getting ready to carry out an imminent action had even purchased any airline tickets. Most of the information about the plot came from an intelligence source in Pakistan. The Muslim director, Jasuddin Siddiq, says it appears very queer that the transportation secretary was recalled immediately from vacation to deal with a travel crisis, but then the very next day, Prime Minister Tony Blair left for a vacation in Barbados. In addition, just the weekend before, Blair supposedly had enough intelligence information to contact George Bush, who himself was on vacation, and tell him about a plot to target those flights. Authorities so far have only seized all the computers at the homes of the suspects and impounded 30 vehicles to start looking for clues. They did carry out some empty bottles that they found at one of the men's homes. And a Dateline Los Angeles. The GOP is hoping a movement being led by evangelicals may help them keep control of the country in November. The Colorado-based Focus on the Family organization, founded by Dr. James Dobson, has launched a massive voter registration drive in order to empower faith-based voters in key states around the nation. One of the methods being used is to put voting information inside church publications and set up areas outside worship services to place such material. Other tactics include getting pastors to speak about Christian citizenship and conducting voter registration drives. This is taking place even with the IRS taking a hard look now at the political activities of nonprofit organizations. A spokesman for Dobson's group says in 2004, some 25 million evangelicals did not get out and vote, but now is the time to reverse that trend. Coordinators of this movement are being asked to put in about 5 hours a week to look for support among important churches. Republicans have already been busy registering voters at venues that tend to draw conservative crowds, such as Christian rock concerts and state and county fairs. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
This is Judy Moskoff. Join me for A Gardener's Notebook every Monday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. As a master gardener, I'll answer your questions about what grows and what doesn't, how to control annoying garden pests, and help you create colorful flower gardens and the freshest fruits and vegetables you've ever tasted. Join me, Judy Moskoff, for A Gardener's Notebook, Mondays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the gardening issues that matter most to you.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, freelance writer and journalist Joe Wood talks about his book, Dirty Water. The work is a new nonfiction narrative that discusses the events surrounding a mysterious lynching that took place right here in St. Louis back in 1894. We'll also find out more about his artistic illustrations and other things that he's into. Don't miss hometown success story Joe Wood, coming up on Mondays at 9. Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Bill Brown.
I wish I didn't get so weak. Oh, oh. Ooh, baby, just to hear you speak. Makes me argue just to see. how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen, a queen upon her throne. Was it sweet, sweet?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
How are you this morning, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You know, when I woke up, I heard you saying one thing, and I liked it. And that was this, to get the cover off your head. With these fear factors that they try to put out there to scare people. They're juvenile, number one, if you look through them. And I've been sick myself, but even before being sick, Liz, I didn't care about death if it came for truth. In the same way with living, I didn't care to live if I was going to be a living coward either. So what I have to say, once they think that they're dealing with a stupid Negro, that's my bait. And let them come in this way to question me or debate the things that they think that they can deal with our people with. It cuts their head off them, the intellect. And when they think black people are that foolish, they're in for a rude awakening. Even circumstances wake up black people that walk right here before your face. They look innocent. Circumstances, they see it's just a time that you can rile up until they become active. And keep up that good work here, Liz.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Take care. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much business to attend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Yep. Facing Joe Lieberman's independent candidacy, Republican officials at the state and national level have made an extraordinary decision to abandon their official candidate. And some Republicans are actively working to help Lieberman win in November. John McCain, while he said he would support the Republican nominee in Connecticut, he's not planning to campaign for him. And John McCain even allowed two of his aides to consult with the Lieberman camp. John McCain sent consultants to Joe Lieberman. So I ask you, who is Joe Lieberman for? John McCain, let me say it. Maybe John McCain's going to pick Joe Lieberman as his vice presidential candidate running mate. Maybe that's the gig. Maybe that's the gig. All the major national Republican groups are withholding their fundraising and organizational support for the Republican nominee. Who is Lieberman for? Who is Lieberman about? Is he a good Democrat? Michael.
Good morning, Liz. How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Well, if that's the case of what Joe was trying to do, he should always go ahead and switch sides. At least Jim Jeffress was more honest.
Yep, at least was. At least he was.
All right, thank you for your time.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Lieberman appears to be creating enthusiasm among Republicans. How scary is that? How scary that Lieberman is creating enthusiasm in the Republican Party. And this is a guy who ran as a Democrat, got defeated as a Democrat, and said, I don't care. This is my job, and you can't take it from me. You can't take it from me. I don't care what I say. I don't care what I am about. It's my job. Bill Kristol, the editor of the Weekly Standard and a neoconservative. Did you hear what I said? Bill Kristol, the editor of the Weekly Standard. Bill Kristol, neoconservative, is helping Joe Lieberman's campaign through an independent group called Vets for Freedom, which is helping to raise funds and providing strategic advice for Joe Lieberman. Hello? 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 Whose side is Joe Lieberman on? Joe Lieberman's campaign has downplayed the Republican support. Part of the problem here is that everyone outside of Connecticut wants to gloat onto this race and wants to put their own spin on it and wants to use it to their own advantage, says Dan Gerstein, a Lieberman advisor. We're not interested in being anybody else, anyone's political football. What does that mean? You're getting unprecedented Republican support, and we're not supposed to talk about it. We're making you into the political football. No, baby. You're being made into something, but I can't say the word here on radio. And you're doing it to yourself. And there may be some people that, you know, it may, the Republican candidate said he's not going anywhere. He says that it is unfair. That the Republican Party is supposed to be supporting a Republican. And just think about what that says about their party. Just think about what that says about the Republican Party. Here they have a Republican candidate, a Republican from birth to present, and the Republican Party is abandoning him for a Democrat. Oh, a Democrat that thinks like them, but not a Republican. Huh. What does that say about the Republican Party? Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. For power, nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that.
Tell you the progress is you made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound
that's below me. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you stand?
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare to...
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. John Mark Carr being held in a top security jail cell in Los Angeles after his long flight back to the States from Thailand. Reporters on board watching every move.
He had a very big appetite. There were three meals served on the plane, and he devoured all of them.
Jocelyn Gecker with the AP. Carr, who will face charges in Colorado in the JonBenet Ramsey murder, was seen drinking champagne, beer, and Chardonnay, dining on king prawns and pate. ABC's Dave Alpert in Los Angeles.
Carr was arrested by LAPD officers on a warrant from Colorado when he touched down on U.S. soil. After passing through customs, Carr was transferred to a waiting sheriff's department helicopter and flown to the downtown Los Angeles jail complex, where he's being held in isolation, awaiting an extradition hearing.
His jail cell being checked every 15 minutes. Saddam Hussein still defiant as his second war crimes trial began in Baghdad, still identifying himself as president of Iraq and refusing to enter a plea. ABC's Terry McCarthy in Baghdad.
This is the big one. The previous trial concerned the killing of 148 people in a Shiite village called Dujail. In this case, the trial deals with killings of up to 100,000 people in Kurdistan in northern Iraq, and it will also present a huge amount of forensic evidence that has been dug up in mass graves around the country over the last year and so.
In Egypt, just north of Cairo, a passenger train failed to stop at a signal with deadly results. The BBC's Heba Saleh.
It appears that one train was stationary just outside the station in Qalyub when another passenger train plowed into its back. At least four carriages overturned. One of the trains caught fire.
And at least 51 people were killed, more than 100 injured. This is ABC News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if your insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1, CRN Prevention Magazine, or visit rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
In Midlothian, Texas, a day-long standoff ended with three police officers and a Texas state trooper recovering from gunshot wounds, and the gunman dead, apparently, after shooting himself. From uniform to uniform, the Pentagon now confirming dozens of cases of sexual misconduct by military recruiters. ABC's John Yang says 80 cases resulted in convictions last year.
Cedric Hamilton used to wear the uniform of a Marine recruiter. Now he wears the jumpsuit of a New York State prisoner, convicted for having sex with a 16-year-old girl he met on the job. In another case at this Marine recruiting office in Ukiah, California, a 17-year-old girl asked a sergeant about joining up.
And eventually he said to her outright, if you want to join the Marines, you have to have sex with me.
The Marine was convicted at a military court and given a less than honorable discharge.
Alaska bracing for more rain after last week's flooding. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's a WGNU news update brought to you by Sonic. Not just good, it's Sonic good. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, more information could come today in the theft of an armored car in Farmington. Police say the theft happened Friday afternoon while the armored car was being refueled at a mobile station. A woman and two men are in custody, and police say they've recovered the suspects' cars. Suspects' names have not been released. In other news, a western Missouri man is allegedly admitting to multiple murders after the discovery of human remains on his property. According to the Kansas City Star, Michael Lee Shaver has confessed to killing as many as seven people in drug-related shootings at his home in Drexel. Shaver is only charged with one murder. That victim has not been identified, but is believed to be a man in his early to mid-20s. In Waterloo, Illinois, a memorial service is set for Wednesday for two Waterloo racehorse trainers killed in a collision with a train. 49-year-old Chalice Irion and his 45-year-old wife Susan died Friday when their pickup truck was struck by a train in Collinsville. A memorial for the couple will be held Wednesday at 1 p.m. at Fairmount Park Racetrack. Six victims of a plane crash in Sullivan are remembered with a permanent memorial. A bench was dedicated yesterday at the Sullivan Regional Airport where the small plane owned by Quantum Leap Skydiving crashed July 29th. The bench is engraved with the names of the victims, Scott Cowan, Dave Pastor-Doster, Robert Cook, Robert Walsh, Melissa Berridge, and Victoria Delacroix. And finally, at this hour, the mayor of St. Peter's is facing federal bribery charges. Mayor Sean Brown is charged with soliciting and accepting an improper payment. Brown allegedly took more than $2,700 from the Redflex traffic camera company after threatening to veto the city's red light camera enforcement system. If convicted, he faces up to 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. That's a WGNU News report brought to you by Sonic. Drive into Sonic for the new Spicy Southwest Breakfast Burrito. Crispy jalapeno strips and spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink because Sonic's your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee. Eastbound 70 between Blanchett Bridge and Earth City Expressway. That accident's been cleared. Traffic still jams at 94. Illinois Route 3 at 5570. Look for an injury accident. Expect long delays in both directions. Westbound 40 at Chesterfield Parkway. Disabled vehicle blocking the left shoulder. Westbound 270 at 367 and New Florissant. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Big Bend. Heavy volume going on there. And eastbound 70 at K and 79, look for heavy volume. And westbound 64, westbound Kingbridge traffic, westbound Eads Bridge, look for no delays this hour as you roll into downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee. McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee is now bolder, smoother, and more robust, and it's made just the way you like it. Drive through today and taste for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly cloudy, high in the mid-80s today, mostly clear, low in the mid-60s this evening. Partly cloudy, high in the upper 80s tomorrow. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 69 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 70. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, freelance writer and journalist Joe Wood talks about his book, Dirty Water. The work is a new nonfiction narrative that discusses the events surrounding a mysterious lynching that took place right here in St. Louis back in 1894. We'll also find out more about his artistic illustrations and other things that he's into. Don't miss hometown success story Joe Wood, coming up on Mondays at 9.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Martin Luther King.
was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the local number. I want to remind everybody about the elections that we have coming up. I think that a lot of you have kind of just gotten past the primary elections that we went through on August 8th. But you need to understand that we have a whole lot of issues that confront us, and the quality of life that you are experiencing is a direct result of the political environment that you find yourself in. And I don't understand how it is that we come to live in a country that does so poorly for its citizens with respect to health care. So when I'm talking about that quality of life, and I'm talking about the political connection of that, health care is a really good example of showing, of demonstrating how the politics are so wrong on this issue. And there are a lot of changes that need to take place. And most of them are going to come from involving yourself politically. And to discuss how some actions are, what actions are being taken with respect to national health care, we're going to have a conversation this morning with the director of Americans for Health Care in Washington, D.C. Stay with me.
Tuesday morning at 8, the wake-up call welcomes former Illinois Congressman Paul Finley to the microphone. He'll be discussing the influence that the Israeli lobby group has over policymaking in Washington. He recently wrote an op-ed piece that said the opponent to Representative Cynthia McKinney had gotten hooked up with the pro-Israeli fundraising network. The Israeli lobby helped defeat her 4 years ago, and she's lost again. You might be shocked at who's actually running things in Washington. Join former Congressman Paul Findlay, Tuesday morning at 8, here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Hi, I'm Doris Walker McGahee, and I want to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public School District is Monday, August the 28th. This is expected to be one of the most rewarding years yet, with students, teachers, parents, and the community all working together. We welcome you back to a professional environment where academic excellence is the number one goal. Remember, the first day of school is Monday, August the 28th.
Hey everybody, I'm Scott Cooper. I want to invite you to tune in to my show, Floral Design Inside and Out, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. right here on WGNU. Join me as I take you on a journey inside the incredible world of flowers. I'll entice you with ideas from weddings to home entertaining and so very much more. I'm all about flowers and a whole lot of fun. Please join me Tuesdays at 10 a.m. as we stop and smell the flowers right here on AM 920 WGNU.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, freelance writer and journalist Joe Wood talks about his book, Dirty Water. The work is a new nonfiction narrative that discusses the events surrounding a mysterious lynching that took place right here in St. Louis back in 1894. We'll also find out more about his artistic illustrations and other things that he's into. Don't miss hometown success story Joe Wood, coming up on Mondays at 9.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Hello, morning. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget that this show is archived every hour, is archived at whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, go get your hour. And if you want to check us out on the web, you can do that as well, because we're streamed as well at WGNU.net. Those are the digits. Handle your business. There, we were talking about in the last, before the last break, about the situation with respect to health care and what is being done to raise awareness of this. I have joining me from Washington, D.C., Jonathan Parker, the director of Americans for Health Care. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Good, thank you.
And I also have Nancy Cross. She's a spokesperson for the SEIU here in St. Louis, Local 1. Nancy, good morning. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm very good. Jonathan, let me start with you. Health care, affordable health care, access to health care, those are all issues that are it seems to get worse and worse every year.
It does get worse and worse every year, and we're now up to 46 million people in this country who do not have health insurance. We are the only industrialized country in the world, remarkably. We're the richest industrialized country in the world, and we're the only industrialized country in the world that does not provide health care for its citizens. Not only do we have more than 46 million uninsured, and actually there are going to be new census numbers that come out next week, which we expect will show another year with another increase in the number of uninsured, but there's also 18,000 people in this country who die every year simply because they do not have health insurance.
And when we talk about the type of health insurance that people have, even saying that people are uninsured doesn't really describe the entire problem, because even some of us that are insured, for all practical purposes, we don't have insurance.
That is exactly right. I mean, not only is the problem of the uninsured, the problem is also of the underinsured. And we can't even put a finger on, what kind of number that is in terms of how many people in this country may have some health insurance but really don't have enough. So that they're going to be able to get the care that they need.
I have friends that have had entire organs written off by insurance companies. They will have health insurance, but we won't cover anything gynecological. We won't cover anything that has to. So for all practical purposes, they don't have the health care that serves their body's needs, and they don't have the kind of health care that gives you peace of mind.
No, that's right, and it really is a crisis in this country, and something needs to be done about it, and something needs to be done about it sooner rather than later. And the way we're going to make that happen is not by having policy arguments about what's right and what's wrong, but to change the politics of this country and to create the political will to make this thing happen sooner rather than later.
One of the concerns that is articulated time and time again to explain why we don't have universal health care, why businesses are the ones that are supposed to supply health care, is because of the cost, Jonathan. Is that a red herring? Is that really the problem here?
Well, I think the cost is the problem as well. The costs are skyrocketing along with the amount of people in this country who are uninsured and underinsured, and it's all tied together. If we had one, if everyone was in the pool, as they say, and everyone was, covered, had health insurance in some way, shape, or form, the cost would come down as well. So you've got the cost skyrocketing, you've got more people uninsured, and it's just getting worse and worse.
And Nancy, what are you doing? There's an event that people need to know about in terms of making people aware of the concerns that they should have about what's going on with healthcare.
Yes, tomorrow on August 22nd in the St. Louis and Clayton area, we're going to go to specific areas of the cities and draw a body out of chalk on the ground to show how criminal it is based on, as Jonathan just said, 18,000 people a year died because they didn't have health insurance, and that it's criminal that people are dying without being murdered, that this is another form of death that is criminal and needs to be made aware of to the people in general. And the places that we have picked out to do this at are actually places that do not offer health insurance to their employees.
Such as?
You would ask me that. The Shell Building and the University City Tower in Clayton.
And Jonathan, when we talk about the United States being the only place, being the only industrialized country that treats their citizens like this with respect to health care, how different is it? Describe what a person in say Great Britain, what kind of health care they get.
Right. Well, that's the, one of the misunderstandings, I think, is that, people in, here in this country assume that these places where there is, where everyone has an option to get health care, that they have to wait in long lines and they don't get good care, they don't get quality care. But some of these places, I mean, such as England, such as France, this is some of the best health care you can get in the world. Their system, because they're investing the kind of money and attention and care to take care of their own citizens, their systems are really the best. But I would also add that as we come up with a new system in this country, and we're going to have it, we're going to have health care for people in this country because the demand is becoming so great, and voters out there are standing up and are insisting that we have a new system of healthcare in this country. And as we come up with that system, it's going to be an American system. It's going to be different from Canada. It's going to be different from England. It's going to be different from France. It may take some ideas, borrow some of the best ideas from those places, but we're going to come up with our own American solution to this problem.
And my concern is that it's going to be different bad as opposed to be different good.
Right, and we've got to make sure that is exactly right. And we've got to speak out and make sure that our system is a good one and not a bad one.
And Nancy, what are some of the things that people should be asking for to make to change the system in the healthcare system here in the United States to make it a different good system?
I think that there are a lot of people that are underinsured that don't have the basics. That if people could get regular checkups and we could do some preventive care, then when someone gets seriously ill, it may be caught earlier than later, because right now the amount of people that are underinsured and uninsured, what happens is that they don't have a regular checkup or mechanism to go and make sure that they are getting the care that they need and that they are healthy. And then when they finally get to the bottom, to rock bottom on it, they're so far gone, it's more difficult to correct the problems that they have, are much more costly than it would be had they had preventive care in the beginning.
Jonathan, do you think that that's one of the reasons why we have, or are there studies out there to support that that's the reason why we are such an obese nation, that we have, because we have such a trouble getting access to our physicians, and they only treat us after we're ill?
Oh, I think that's probably, part of that reason, and I, completely agree with Nancy that, preventative care. I mean, what we've got in this, and this goes to the problem of the underinsured as well, is you've got countless people out there who won't go to the doctor when some small ailment pops up because they don't have the health insurance to cover that type of preventative care.
So they don't have
the problem only gets worse.
Or they don't have.
It ends up being more expensive for everyone, and in some cases ends up in tragedy.
Or they don't have the copay.
Right.
To pay for whatever it would take to deal with it.
That's exactly right.
Nancy?
Yeah, and that would be also, and if they were prescribed, I've run into situations where people were prescribed medication, and instead of taking the entire pill because of the cost, they're cutting the pills in half.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not taking what's prescribed for them, so it takes twice as long, and, the pills are made a certain way because that's how they're supposed to be effective. But people have to choose between taking the medication or feeding their family, and we don't need that.
Well, Jonathan, isn't part of the challenge we're going to have to confront as we dismantle the system that we have and come up with a new one? We have to take on the insurance companies, and we have to take on the pharmaceutical industry, because they make more money here than anyplace else, don't they?
That is, you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, these are the political powers. The power behind the curtain when it comes to trying to change this system, whether it's there in St. Louis, whether it's here in Washington, D.C., these are very, very powerful influences. And the only way we're going to get our leaders in this country to change is to change the political will, and to do it on the grassroots level, and to let them hear from the citizens of this country, and let them hear regularly from the citizens of this country that something needs to happen, and something needs to happen soon.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back to have a few more minutes of conversation with Jonathan Parker, the Director of Americans for Healthcare, Nancy Cross, spokesperson for Service Employees International Union here in St. Louis. We'll get to some of your calls, and we'll get to a few more minutes of conversation about Chalk It Up. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Shell, the Million Gallon Giveaway. Northbound Illinois Route 3 on the 5570. Look for an injury accident. Northbound lane is shut down and traffic is getting by through the southbound lane, but expect long delays this hour. Southbound 270 at Tesson Ferry, there's an incident that has just been cleared, so you may see some delays still. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain all the way to West Florissant. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 44 at 141 and 270. Look for normal traffic. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44. Look for heavy volume going on there as well. Eastbound 70 at KN 79. Look for heavy volume going on. Westbound 64, 55, 70. Nothing to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laquede's Landing. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound Eastbridge traffic is looking good going in and into downtown, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Shell, the million-gallon giveaway. Shell is giving away free gas for life to six lucky winners and tons of other prizes. The million-gallon giveaway, only at Shell, made to move. See official rules at participating Shell stations. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday, partly cloudy day, high in the mid-80s. This evening, mostly clear, low in the mid-60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy, high in the upper 80s. And Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 69 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Been keeping up with all the speculation surrounding the recent illness of Cuban President Fidel Castro? Is there about to be a regime change of sorts? Tuesday morning at 7, Ricardo Alarcón, the president of the Cuban Parliament, joins Liz Brown on the wake-up call to talk about what is really happening in that part of the world. Will Castro step aside? Is there a Central and South American alliance in the works? Does American policy have the same impact in the region that it once had? These and more topics for discussion with Ricardo Alarcón, president of the Cuban Parliament, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
The St. Louis Comic Book Show takes place on Sunday from 10:30 to 2:30 at the Shrewsbury American Legion Post on Lansdowne. This is your opportunity to buy, sell, and trade collectible comics, cards, toys, and action figures. Admission is $2 and parking is free. For more information, call 314-544-2812. News to comic book fans from Radio Free St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson. Join me every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 920 WGNU. You'll enjoy hearing stories of people who are making the difference in the lives of others. Join me, Laurie Falkerson, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, freelance writer and journalist Joe Wood talks about his book, Dirty Water. The work is a new nonfiction narrative that discusses the events surrounding a mysterious lynching that took place right here in St. Louis back in 1894. We'll also find out more about his artistic illustrations and other things that he's into. Don't miss hometown success story Joe Wood, coming up on Mondays at 9. The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
All that I know. I've got got something within me. Oh, 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 oh yes. So, something within me.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My guest this hour, Jonathan Parker, Director of Americans for Healthcare. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. And Nancy Cross, spokesperson for SEIU here in St. Louis. And welcome back. Jonathan, how important is this Chalk It Up event that is taking place on August 22nd?
Well, Americans for Healthcare, and we are a project of the Service Employees International Union, we have, you know, every day we are out there organizing healthcare voters and giving them a voice and mobilizing them to action. But we really wanted to choose a specific day to mobilize a national healthcare day of action, and so this year it's August 22nd, to, you know, at least this one day that we can have actions across the country that really shine the spotlight on the crisis. And it's exactly 11 weeks out from the election, 77 days, and we've really got to let our leaders and our potential and our soon-to-be elected leaders know that healthcare's got to be their priority.
And Nancy, where again can people participate in this?
If they want to participate, they probably should call the office, but we will be in the Clayton and St. Louis area. They could call 314-647-9950, and they'll be able to direct you as to where to meet.
And let me also
meet at the exact site. We meet, and then they'll move to the exact site.
And let me add that the information for the St. Louis event is up on our website,
okay,
which is www.imahealthcarevoter.org. Again, it's www.imahealthcarevoter.org, and the information for the St. Louis actions, as well as all of our actions across the country, and they're happening in over 30 states and over 50 cities across the country on Tuesday. There's information there on how to get involved specifically in St. Louis, as well as if you've got friends out there who are in other parts of the country, how they can get involved.
And let me get to a caller or two. Will. Will.
Yes. First, I wanted to say that National healthcare is something that this country has been needing for a long time, and I'm surprised that we don't have it, and we haven't had it ahead of time. But the question I wanted to ask him is, he mentioned something about differences between the healthcare plan that we may get here as opposed to the ones in Britain and France. And what I wanted to know is if he could elaborate on what he thinks some of those differences will be.
Did you get that?
Yes,
okay.
Sure. So, without getting into sort of the, too much of the policy weeds on this, you know, I would say that, it's sort of hard to say exactly what those differences.
Well, if you had a wish list, Jonathan, what would some of the things be on a new kind of health care plan for all of us?
One would be that everyone is covered, that there is a basic benefit plan for everyone in this country. That basic benefit plan is, comparable to what the federal government receives now in terms of making sure that there are enough of that enough things are covered, if you will, is probably the best way to say that. So that would be number one. Two, that there is a cost containment element to this, so that the costs are going to come down. Third, that preventative care, as Nancy said earlier, is really a priority. Those would be my top three.
And let me get to another caller here. Yes, you have a question?
Thank you for your guest, Ms. Brown. The truth will set you free. John, this makes me so mad. Every time we have an election, nobody wants to talk about health care. We send those politicians up there, and they push health care under the table. My question is, John, Why is it they can't even fix Medicare? The Republican Party has ruined Medicare. I want you to compliment on that. Why is it they have the best of health care and we can't get a universal health care problem? Answer that question for me. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you for your comments, Ms. Brown.
Why do they, meaning the Republicans and Democrats up in Washington, D.C., they have better health care than any of us do?
That's exactly. I couldn't agree more with the caller. It is outrageous that you've got, you know, people out there running for office are already elected officials who aren't talking about, you know, comprehensive health care change in this country. You look at any poll and it'll be right at the top of a poll of any voters. If you looked at the presidential election, our last presidential election, if Kerry had talked about more about health care and health care had been more of a priority in the race, he probably would have won. And so right now in this, you know, in Washington, D.C., they're avoiding dealing with the issue. They're tweaking around the corners. They're putting Band-Aids on the problem instead of trying to really, you know, step up and show some leadership and change the system for the better and not just tweak it here and tweak it there and try to fix Medicaid for the short term. Instead what they need to do, and they're not doing it, is really address the problem, which is changing the system in this country.
Nancy, there really seems to be a real disconnect between them and us.
Yes, and especially, you've been in this state for a long time. In Missouri alone, what they've done over the past year to the Medicaid program for elderly and children and physically challenged and mentally challenged people has been horrific as to the cuts that they made when they first came into office and the effect that has had on a lot of Missourians and their ability to have health insurance.
So, again, this event is this Chalk It Up event is an attempt to bring some more light on this issue. And one more time, Nancy, tell people where they can come and where they can call.
They can call 314-647-9950 for the meeting locations, and there will be staging events in Clayton and in downtown St. Louis.
And, Jonathan, what's that website again?
Yep, it's www.imahealthcarevoter.org.
And do you all, Jonathan, does your organization put out a top five list of those that are either in office or wanting to be in office that have the best plan for health care?
We have, if you go to our website, that website that I just mentioned, imahealthcarevoter.org, there is all sorts of that type of information in terms of what is out there when it comes to different policy options, what some of our leaders are saying and not saying when it comes to healthcare. And what else is on that website is healthcare stories. We have a healthcare story of the week, every week, up on our website, which is regular citizens from across the country sharing their healthcare horror stories, the type of stories that all of us were talking about this morning. And so I encourage your listeners to go to that website and get more information and sign up to become a healthcare voter and join Americans for Healthcare.
And who has the strongest record? Who has the best plan and the strongest record on healthcare from your perspective, Jonathan?
Who specifically?
Mm-hmm. What elected official?
That's a hard one. I think you could make a case that not a lot of them have shown much leadership at all. But I think we've got some new U.S. senators, some new members of Congress who are coming in and who are really making this a priority, including Senator Obama there in Illinois.
All right. I want to thank you both, Nancy Cross, spokesperson for the SEIU here in St. Louis, and Jonathan Parker, director of Americans for Healthcare. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
Great. Thank you, Liz.
Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back at you after this break. Stay with me.
Message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care.
access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Diana Borsa, Interim Superintendent of the St. Louis Public Schools. We remain focused on one key component, academic achievement. We'll make sure that the doors of our schools will open on the first day of school, August 28th. Our teachers, staff, and administrators are working extremely hard to ensure a successful school year. I want to thank you for your continued support of the St. Louis Public Schools. And remember, together, we will make a difference.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. For free estimates, call 602-1047. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline New York. A nonprofit watchdog organization says that it appears the Gulf Coast region is not getting much of the reconstruction money appropriated after the hurricane disasters a year ago. CorpWatch took a look at the contracts issued by FEMA and found that at least 90% of them, including the huge no-bid contracts, went to companies that were based outside the three hardest-hit states. Most have gone to companies in Virginia and Indiana that are well-connected politically. There's also a pattern of abuse where the main contractors are failing to let the funding trickle down to the subcontractors who are actually doing the work. Many of the so-called disaster profiteers are the same outfits that got the big contracts for reconstruction work in Iraq and Afghanistan, names like Bechtel and Halliburton. Many of the contracts are open-ended, meaning there's no definite time frame for completion, no specified amount of material or service to be provided, and plenty of cost-plus language that allows a profit on every dollar that's actually spent. An Alaska-based corporation got a $40 million contract to provide 450 portable classrooms to Mississippi. But a Gulf Coast businessman filed suit against the government, saying he'd put in a bid at half that price, but his was rejected. In a classic example of how contract pyramid schemes are going on, a contractor called Ashbrit got a $500 million deal to remove debris. This came out to be about $23 for every cubic yard of debris removed. They hired a subcontractor and paid them $9 a cubic yard. That subcontractor turns around and hires another one at $8 a yard. Then that one hires another one out for $7 a yard. And finally, that one hires out a fifth and pays them $3 a cubic yard, which does not even cover the cost of doing the work. This is why those on the low end of the chain sometimes never get paid and are forced to use illegal immigrants to do the actual work to save as much money as they can. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you by Philip Person Roofing. If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with a personal invitation to join me for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality. Part of Women Inspiring Women every Monday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU. I believe when you follow your purpose, you have no choice but to be phenomenally successful, because all of the resources and opportunities you need become attracted to you. So join me, Lethea Owens, for Motivational Mondays, part of Women Inspiring Women, every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, freelance writer and journalist Joe Wood talks about his book, Dirty Water. The work is a new nonfiction narrative that discusses the events surrounding a mysterious lynching that took place right here in St. Louis back in 1894. We'll also find out more about his artistic illustrations and other things that he's into. Don't miss hometown success story Joe Wood, coming up on Mondays at 9.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up, get to me. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget that we are we're streamed on the net at WGNU.net. That's WGNU.net. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I just have to. You were played 11 days ago, 12 days ago, when Great Britain caused financial harm to their citizens by saying that there was some imminent threat of all kinds of murders. I think you're being played. Nobody had a bomb. Nobody's been charged. Some folks have been let go. But I think you're also being played by sex. I guess this is the Monica Lewinsky two-punch, you know, sex and violence. You're being played with this JonBenet piece. First of all, who cares? First, who cares? It was 10 years ago. Who cares? First. Secondly, it is a mystery to me. Secondly, it's a mystery to me how somebody could be arrested for a crime like this, that they didn't do a DNA test before they let the press in on it. when you have such a congenial accused individual, how is it that you didn't do a DNA comparison before you put him on a plane and fed him caviar and champagne? Gave him champagne wishes. How is it that you didn't do that? You are being played. 100 people are dying a day in Iraq. You can't even get into Baghdad. Baghdad citizens are lining up block after block after block because they don't have gasoline in Baghdad. There are all kinds of stories that are in front of your face, but you are being played with fake terrorism and with sexual perverts. You're being played, you're being distracted from the real world that you're living in. WGNU, you need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, morning, Liz. David.
David from San Francisco. Good morning.
Yeah, morning. I'm glad you're laying it out in that way. It's kind of interesting. I heard the other day, and in fact, I think it was just the standard press kind of news. It might have been CNN's news in the middle of the night. They were saying that I think the average number of attacks in a given day was something like 6 or 10 or 20 or something like that. And all of a sudden, it had blossomed up to 1,500.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this was right when Bush started doing his little campaign about, terrorists carrying liquids on a plane. And then I think there was also, obviously this Boulder Jean-René story came out, too. And now I think it's emerging that that Homeland Security had some hand in forcing Thailand to arrest this guy. And, you know, if they've, like, arrested a nut in
Homeland Security said pushed on the arrest of this JonBenet guy?
Yeah, I heard that. I'm not sure if I heard it on Pacifica's news or if it was Amy Goodman's or there was one of the alternative news sources that was talking about that. But, I think it was Air America, actually. So, yeah, they had some influence in it.
Which would make sense. Then he didn't do it. I think that we can all conclude he didn't do it if Homeland Security had anything to do with the push on it.
Yeah, I mean, an average murder, just a splashed-up headline murder, but it was for a murder to be involved in Homeland Security, pretty typical. Hey, well, I hear your music coming up. Have a good morning, St. Louis.
Take care of yourself, David. Thanks
all
for
right.
your call.
Bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake-up call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
For power, nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches
and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is
healing your wound. That's below that the low name. I think I'm hearing revolution through the air, kill the brother. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many
are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we
are the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU,
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. Back to the basics for John Mark Carr, who sipped champagne during his long flight from Thailand to California. Arriving in L.A. after midnight, Carr, who's awaiting extradition to Colorado to face charges in the JonBenet Ramsey murder, is now under close scrutiny in a small jail cell.
He will be in a single cell. He'll be in isolation. He will be, whenever he moves, he will be accompanied by deputy sheriffs. He will be kept out of the general population.
And Steve Whitmore with the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. In Boulder, ABC's Lara Satrakian.
Here in Boulder, people are very skeptical of this man. They think he comes off as kind of flaky. He seems to be loving the attention. He's been in the lap of luxury on his trip over from Thailand. All in all, I think people here think he's something of a hoax.
President Bush prepping for a news conference to be held about an hour from now. ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
President Bush has a lengthy statement prepared for his news conference on conditions in Lebanon and the ceasefire, which has been unsteady there. The UN is still trying to field additional forces to help the Lebanese army secure the southern border with Israel. President Bush will come to the new temporary White House Press Center across Pennsylvania Avenue from the White House for this full news conference. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Saddam Hussein still defiant as his second war crimes trial began in Baghdad. ABC's Terry McCarthy is there.
Today was the first day of the trial. All the defendants were brought in. Saddam Hussein and six other co-defendants were brought before the judge. They all entered pleas, or in Saddam's case, refused to enter a plea. Then the prosecution and the defense lawyers made their statements, and the judge basically explained what was going to happen in the trial.
This is ABC News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For example, the 10 million saved is 10 million earned dynamic. Or the our month end reports actually happen by the end of the month dynamic. Or the yes, I can forecast the revenue, no, I don't own a crystal ball dynamic. How do you manage these dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Criminal justice is one of America's fastest growing career fields. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue exciting entry-level opportunities. At the ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice, they teach you the fundamentals of the criminal justice system. Classes meet just a few days a week, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 1-800-851-4499. 1-800-851-4499.
Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
A man from Vicksburg, Mississippi, has felt their pain, completing a grueling marathon to help victims of Hurricane Katrina. ABC's Clarissa Douglas.
His knees took a beating, and let's not even go near his poor feet. But 25-year-old Sam Thompson finished 51 marathons in 50 days to raise awareness about hurricane victims. He started July 1st in Leadville, Colorado, running marathons in every state plus the District of Columbia, finally ending in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. One day, he ran two marathons in one day. He went through 11 pairs of shoes during the 1,300 miles of marathons, and his girlfriend says he didn't lose a single pound. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
German prosecutors say they won't be pursuing charges against Madonna for her mock crucifixion scene at a weekend concert she performed last night in front of 45,000 fans in Dusseldorf for Worldwide Confessions Tour. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This WGNU News update is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, the city manager of Berkeley could face 20 years in prison if convicted of bribery. Joseph King faces federal charges of bribery and mail fraud. Prosecutors allege King took kickbacks from an insurance broker in exchange for a favorable recommendation to the Berkeley City Council involving the city's insurance brokerage contract. In other news, the Missouri Department of Transportation's officials are urging drivers to slow down in work zones. MoDOT spokesman Tom Miller says the last few weeks have been a wake-up call for crews. He says MoDOT crews do everything they can to assure their safety, and it's up to motorists to slow down. Motorist assist worker Ken Horman was struck and killed last Tuesday while assisting on the scene of a car fire on I-55. Michael Poway was hit and killed earlier this month by a drunk driver in a work zone on Highway 40. A third MoDOT employee sustained minor injuries last week after being clipped on I-70. And finally, at this hour, the last phase of St. Louis County's cleanup from last month's storms begins today. Workers will make one final sweep through the county's entire road system. Residents are being asked to move any remaining storm debris to the curb for pickup. There's no word on when the cleanup is expected to be finished. And that's an update of WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, you can help a child excel in school. Through September, donate school supplies to KidSmart by dropping them off at the service department of your participating Toyota dealer. Toyota, moving you forward. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at 5570, there's an injury accident. Northbound lane is shut down. Traffic is getting by through the southbound lane. There are no longer any delays. Westbound 64 at Illinois 159 and 157, look for an overturned vehicle accident. Highway is shut down in both directions. Expect a lot of delays there. Northbound 55 at 4500 South Broadway, there's an accident going on there. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain and West Florissant, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Gravois through 44, it's slow. And eastbound 40 from Brentwood to Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays this hour, just basically due to the fact this morning rush. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Drive into Sonic for a new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito. Crispy jalapeno strips plus spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it today with your favorite drink, because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy skies, high in the mid-80s. For this evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s, and Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 69 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 71. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you say?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
The high
hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Please don't forget that we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Also, this show is archived every hour, as archived, and it is archived at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. And if you want to email me, you can do that. You can do that at, how about this, revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Last hour we had a bit of a conversation about health care. We had a bit of a conversation from a political perspective of how your health care needs are not being met. The quality of your health care life is directly determined by the politics that you find yourself in. And the two big towering infernos of influence on the quality of your healthcare life that are clearly politically impacted: insurance companies and pharmaceuticals. There's a story out in the news sphere today about, golly, what are the odds of this? That there are businesses that are making billions of dollars, getting billions of dollars from our good government, the military, to buy all kinds of weapons that we don't need, that there are expenditures that are obscene, all for the benefit of those in the military-industrial complex. Surprise, surprise. Well, I think that a case may be made that there is a pharmaceutical industrial complex as well, that they're getting fat and happy off of us, thanks to our good government. We need to talk about that. And we have the Director for Public Citizen Health Research Group, Dr. Sidney Wolf, joining us this morning from Washington, D.C., to talk about that. Dr. Wolf, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I am fine. Mm-hmm. Ready to talk with you. I mean, I actually, on a book tour about 20 years ago, I did a really wonderful show on WGNU. There's a book called Pills That Don't Work. Now, we're talking about worst pills, best pills. And, you know, what you just mentioned a second ago, there is a medical industrial complex. I think it's pretty well accepted now that between all the money that the drug industry is now giving directly to the government and all the lobbyists in Washington, there are more than 700 lobbyists in Washington representing the drug industry, that you've got an enormous influence which is beginning to show itself in an ugly way more and more. I think that the military industrial complex is bad enough. We've learned about it for a long time, but the medical industrial complex really brings government and the drug industry very close together, much to the benefit of the stockholders of the drug companies, but much to the dismay and, I think, disease and death of many people who are using these prescription drugs relying on the government to be approving only those that are really safe and effective enough, but finding out that the government itself is tainted. There's a Harris poll just about a month and a half ago, Liz, showing that almost 60% of people no longer trust the Food and Drug Administration to be doing a good job monitoring the safety and effectiveness of drugs. Well, they are the ones that are supposed to be doing the job, and if they aren't, we're in a lot of trouble. One of the reasons that we have put out our books, Worst Pills, Best Pills, and our website that lists a lot of these dangerous drugs that you shouldn't be taking, worstpills.org, is that the government never did a terrific job, but at least 30 years ago when I started doing this, they were doing a better job. Now it's just gotten worse and worse. This year, $380 million in cash, literally. This is not, it sounds like rhetoric, but it's actually via a law passed by the Congress in 1992. $380 million in cash goes directly from the industry, mainly the drug industry, to the FDA to pay the salaries. And guess what happens when the industry, instead of the taxpayers, pay the salaries of people in the FDA? They get what they want, and they get an FDA that looks upon the drug industry as their client. Now, if that isn't worrisome, then just look at the results of it.
And we need to talk about that more when we come back. We have to take a break, Dr. Wolf. I'm talking to Dr. Sidney Wolf, Director for Public Citizen Health Research Group. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the pharmaceutical industrial complex. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Been keeping up with all the speculation surrounding the recent illness of Cuban President Fidel Castro? Is there about to be a regime change of sorts? Tuesday morning at 7, Ricardo Alarcón, the president of the Cuban Parliament, joins Liz Brown on the wake-up call to talk about what is really happening in that part of the world. Will Castro step aside? Is there a Central and South American alliance in the works? Does American policy have the same impact in the region that it once had? These and more topics for discussion with Ricardo Alarcón, President of the Cuban Parliament, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown.
Now Goldie's Music presents the ultimate 50s vocal group collection called Doo-Wop Grace. Yes, you get the Cadillacs, the Platters, the Crests, the Dell Vikings, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, the Rivieras, the Kleptones, the Chantels, the Flamingos, Little Anthony and the Imperials, the Olympics, and the Five Satins, plus many more. Yes, you'll be singing along to the greatest doo-wop songs ever recorded.
I wonder, wonder who.
Doo-wop greats. All songs have been digitally remastered for the highest quality. Call now and add doo-wop greats to your collection.
Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995. 1-800-577-3995. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995.
Hi, I'm John Womack. I'm the host of On the Table, a program about food and wine and enjoying yourself every Tuesday at noon. So tune in here on WGNU 920 AM.
Hi, I'm Dr. Diana Borsa, Interim Superintendent of the St. Louis Public Schools. We remain focused on one key component, academic achievement. We'll make sure that the doors of our schools will open on the first day of school, August 28th. Our teachers, staff, and administrators are working extremely hard to ensure a successful school year. I want to thank you for your continued support of the St. Louis Public Schools. And remember, together, we will make a difference.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care. Access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, freelance writer and journalist Joe Wood talks about his book, Dirty Water. The work is a new nonfiction narrative that discusses the events surrounding a mysterious lynching that took place right here in St. Louis back in 1894. We'll also find out more about his artistic illustrations and other things that he's into. Don't miss hometown success story Joe Wood, coming up on Mondays at 9. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Dedication to all the refugees worldwide. One time. Say, say, say. I remember when we used to sit in a government yard in Brooklyn. About something to Brooklyn day. I just mingle with the good people we meet. Good friends we had, oh, good friends we've lost along the way. In this great future, you can't forget your past. So dry your tears, I say.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning I am talking to Dr. Sidney Wolf. He is the director for Public Citizen Health Research Group. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. And Dr. Wolf, welcome back. Taking a look at your website here, worstpills.org, and you list some of the 185 drugs that you do not, that you're not supposed to be using. This is kind of a terrifying little list for people that have been prescribed some of these drugs. Do they all have something in common in terms of how they reached the list of do not use, or are they all individual and unique of themselves?
Well, there are some patterns. A number of them cause liver disease, whereas other drugs for treating the same problem don't cause liver disease. I mean, I think our philosophy for 35 years has been, if there's a drug that doesn't have any unique benefit, but it has a unique risk, why use it? And one of the reasons why people are using it is that a lot of these drugs are very heavily advertised and promoted now directly to patients on television. The FDA doesn't bother checking a lot of these advertisements to make sure that they're not misleading people. A huge proportion of the ads that patients see on television, that doctors see in their offices, have information overstating the benefits and understating the risks. And doctors, if they were adequately informed, in many cases, wouldn't be prescribing these drugs. So these are 185 drugs for which there are, in almost all cases, probably 175 cases, a safer alternative. So we don't just say, don't use this drug. We say, go to your doctor and discuss the possibility of using this other drug, which is almost always safer, just as effective or more effective, and in many cases less expensive, because amongst the safest drugs are the ones that have been on the market long enough and that are not going to be generating a lot of surprises. We also approach it slightly differently. It's not likely that either the drug industry or the FDA will tell you 127 drugs that can cause sexual dysfunction in women as well as men, 160 drugs that can cause depression, 76 drugs that can cause memory loss. So we have a whole section in our book, Worst Pills, Best Pills, and on the website you just mentioned, worstpills.org, that points out to you this extraordinary capacity of drugs not only to do good, which we acknowledge, but to cause diseases. And often the doctors don't recognize the diseases that are caused by drugs and instead will treat them with something else. A huge proportion of the men taking Viagra and Levitra and Cialis, the other two drugs for treating erectile dysfunction, are also taking drugs that cause erectile dysfunction, and their doctors may not be aware of it. So instead of switching to something that doesn't cause the disease called erectile dysfunction, they add another drug to treat what is a drug-induced cause of erectile dysfunction. And the same is true of depression. A lot of people that have depression, I mean, depression is a serious thing which can cause suicide, and we don't deny that at all, but a major chunk of people, not the majority, but a large proportion of people, have drug-induced depression, from sleeping pills, from tranquilizers, from a number of other drugs. And again, we say, if that's the cause of your depression, and it merits a discussion with your doctor or looking at worstpills.org, where you can see these lists of drugs that can do that, maybe the remedy is to switch to something that doesn't cause depression instead of taking another drug, an antidepressant, to treat it. So I think the main point we're making here is that the drug industry is not really giving out accurate information that's balanced to patients. The FDA...
And the FDA is supposed to be making them give out the balanced information.
Exactly, and it isn't. There's been an 85% decrease in law enforcement activities by the FDA over drug ads over the last 8 years.
Well, and let me just jump in here for a second, Dr. Wolf. The United States is unique amongst industrialized countries in that our pharmaceutical folks are allowed to get at us and to advertise at us. This is also a result of an act by the FDA. Is that correct?
Well, it's a result of a couple of things. One, the FDA took an act, which is what you're referring to, in August of 1997. They said, okay, from now on, if you're going to run television ads, you don't have to bother with all this detailed information. You can send people to an 800 number or something like that. And as soon as the FDA took the lid off of what companies used to have to do in advertising direct to patients, there was just an epidemic, which we keep seeing today, of particularly television advertising for prescription drugs. But the other thing that sort of goes along with this is that we have a First Amendment in this country that includes, quote, protection for commercial speech, so that in order to ban, which is something some people talk about, drug advertising to patients, for example, we would probably be violating the First Amendment. In other words, it's protected. And in no other country, and I think that's the point you're making, there is no other country in the world other than New Zealand that is in the process of changing it that allows advertising direct to patients, and it's because their constitution isn't as strong as ours. We have a good constitution.
But it's only been recently that drug manufacturers have been allowed to come on television and advertise.
That's right. It's 1997 is when the lid was taken off by the FDA under pressure from the drug industry to make it easier and less expensive for the drug industry to run ads on television. And that's when the explosion started, and it's still going.
And so those rules and regulations could be changed back. That they have nothing to do with commercial speech.
No, they could. You're absolutely right. They could be tightening it. It would not ban television advertising, but it would make it much more difficult and more expensive for companies to do, and there would be a reduction in it. But they haven't done that. You know, given that the FDA is getting $380 million from the industry, mainly the drug industry, this year, they don't want to offend the people that are feeding them all this money. And so you don't see very many FDA efforts being taken in a way that might be, quote, insulting to the drug industry.
And there's another terrifying thing that is going on within the FDA, experimentation, allowing human experimentation.
Well, human experimentation is really done by drug companies often. I mean, sometimes the government does. It was done by drug companies, and it's supposed to be regulated out where the experimentation is being done. There are groups, ethical review boards that are supposed to say, this experiment is okay, but this experiment isn't okay. And again, these review boards have tilted much more than they should, in too many instances, towards the needs of the drug company or whoever is trying to do the experiment than the needs. I mean, there's now recently a move to try and start allowing the use of prisoners again in human experiments.
And how horrifying is that, Dr. Wolf?
Well, it's quite horrifying because the whole history of abusing prisoners in drug experiments was exactly what stopped the allowing of prisoners for drug experiments about 25 years ago. And now people are saying, well, maybe this is okay. I mean, how can a prisoner give informed consent when they think in the back of their mind that if they agree to participate in this experiment, it may lead to earlier...
Where they're told. They don't even have to think it. They're being told that.
That's right. And so we have strongly opposed the use of prisoners, and we're very concerned that in the last month or two there have been some moves. That is,
and we have to take a break. We have to take a break. Dr. Sidney Wolf, director for Public Citizen Health Research Group in Washington, D.C. We'll get back to more of our conversation and to some of your calls, questions, and comments. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee. Northbound Illinois Route 159 and 157, an overturned vehicle has an accident going on. Traffic is backed up in both directions, and the lanes are back open, but expect delays through Highway 50. Northbound 55. At 4500 South Broadway, look for an accident. Three left lanes are closed. Traffic jams at Bayless. Southbound 270 at Dorset is closed due to an accident with a fire. Traffic jams approaching 70. Northbound 270 at Page is partially blocked due to an accident on southbound 270 at Dorset and traffic jams near Olive. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain through West Florissant. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Gravois and 44 is heavy this hour. And eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect some delays due to just basically the downtown rush this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee. McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee is now bolder, smoother, and more robust, and it's made just the way you like it. Drive through today and taste it for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy, high in the mid-80s. This evening, mostly clear, low in the mid-60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s, and Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 70 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
For the issues that matter most to you, huh, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with a Motivational Moment. I would like to encourage you to use persuasion instead of convincing when you're communicating with others and you are wanting to influence them. You see, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. When you use persuasion, people actually adopt your way of thinking. But when you convince people, guess what? All you get is compliance. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 920 WGNU.
I'm Controller Darlene Green, and I want to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This is expected to be one of our most rewarding years yet, with students, teachers, parents, and the community all working together. We welcome you back to a professional environment where academic excellence is the number one goal. Remember, the first day of school is Monday, August 28th.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, freelance writer and journalist Joe Wood talks about his book, Dirty Water. The work is a new nonfiction narrative that discusses the events surrounding a mysterious lynching that took place right here in St. Louis back in 1894. We'll also find out more about his artistic illustrations and other things that he's into. Don't miss hometown success story Joe Wood, coming up on Mondays at 9.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. This morning I am talking to Dr. Sidney Wolfe. He is the Director for Public Citizen Health Research Group. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the FDA. We're talking about drugs. We're talking about worstpills.org. Dr. Wolfe, welcome back.
Nice to be with you again this morning.
And let me get
I just want, one of the things I mentioned briefly before is that given the fact that the industry misleads, that's how they sell drugs, and the FDA lets them mislead, we feel even more pressure than we did maybe 35 years ago to try and get information out. So, for instance, we told people to stop using Vioxx. Everyone knows Vioxx, this big-selling painkiller. We told people to stop using it 5 years ago, because 5 years ago there was unequivocal evidence that it caused heart attacks, 4- or 5-fold increase in heart attacks.
5 years ago.
5 years ago. We asked the FDA to put a black box warning about this on. They did drugs that have been taken off the market over the last 15 years were drugs that we told people to stop using 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years before they took them off the market. And our decision was based on looking at data, sometimes data in medical journal articles, and sometimes data out of FDA's files. We have sued the FDA just because they are so close to the industry to force them to disclose publicly a lot of information that they previously didn't want to disclose, that the drug industry didn't want disclosed. And when we look at this information, we say, wait a minute, this is a drug that you shouldn't use. It's one of, as you mentioned, there are 185 drugs on our website, worstpills.org. We say, don't use, there are safer alternatives.
One of the things that you mentioned, I think, in passing before our last break, is the reputation, if you will, of the FDA, that people assume that the FDA of 2006 is the same one from 1966. And it seems almost as if the FDA is exploiting that understanding that people have of it so that people do trust these pills because the FDA said that they were okay.
Well, I think that has certainly been true up until very recently. But this is in May, just, you know, a couple months ago, a Harris poll showed that almost 60% of the people who were surveyed all over the country thought that the FDA did only a fair or poor job ensuring the safety and effectiveness of drugs. Now, that's a very new development. I think you're absolutely right. During most of the last 30 or 40 years, people have trusted. They sort of need to trust the FDA, because if they don't trust the FDA, they certainly don't trust the industry. Those polls have been showing negative attitudes towards the industry for a long time. But now, all of a sudden, I think it's in the wake of one drug after another that the industry certainly knew about, and as we are learning, the FDA knew something about, like Vioxx, and they didn't do anything about it. So people are really beginning to place the FDA in the same corner as the industry.
Can I interrupt just for a second? Does that explain, Dr. Wolfe, then, what it seems to be this extraordinary number of new pills and new drugs that seem to be reaching the market? It doesn't seem like they all could possibly have been tested long enough for them to be getting to us this quickly.
Yeah, I think the answer is they haven't been, and maybe 20 or 30 years ago, if a drug came up for possible approval and there was some kind of safety question about it, the FDA would say, wait a minute, this drug doesn't have any advantage over an old drug, and we're a little worried about this risk. Let's hold back. Now, in the same kind of scenario, the FDA would say, let's approve it and check it out afterwards. Mm-hmm. Checking it out afterwards means millions of people be exposed to a drug that may well come off the market as a sort of massive human experiment. So the whole default, instead of let's protect the public, it's let's allow the industry to get this drug on the market as quickly as possible. So your question about is the assumption that all these new drugs are coming on the market have really been tested and found to be safe and effective correct? The answer is no, too many times.
And then the other one is this: are these vaccines that are coming out, not just the drugs, but the vaccines? I am horrified or frightened of these vaccines that they're saying, for example, the cervical cancer vaccine. I am really skeptical of their claims, and I'm skeptical of the amount of time that they've used to investigate this vaccine.
Well, that may be, hopefully, and I cross my fingers along with you as I say that, that's been actually under study for a very long time. The amount of research going into the vaccine to prevent papillomavirus, which causes cervical cancer, has been very long. Actually, I have looked at a certain amount of this data, and you know, cautiously, because there's always surprises that could be lurking there, this looks better than a lot of the other products. It's probably been under investigation for maybe five times longer than a lot of the drugs that have come on the market recently. And it's also, interestingly, a different part of FDA. Vaccines are looked at by a different division than look at drugs like Vioxx and so forth. And it is the drug division that gave us Vioxx and Bextra both off the market and a lot of other drugs that is getting a lion's share of the money from the industry. The other division that regulates blood and blood products and vaccines and so forth, at least thus far, seems to have been doing a better job. But I would be very cautious about this and look carefully as this comes on the market to what happens to the women that get it. Because the stakes are big both ways, because if this works, which it does appear to work, to drastically reduce the amount of this virus that causes cervical cancer, this is a big public health boon. And unlike most of the drugs that come on the market that are just another painkiller, just another high blood pressure drug, there isn't anything for this other than trying to treat surgically or otherwise with chemotherapy cervical cancer after it's gotten too late. So they're at least on the plus side. If this works out as well as the evidence looks, we can have a big public health gain. On the other hand, almost all the drugs, 90% of the drugs, the regular drugs that come on the market, are Me Too drugs. The company says, hey, $10 billion a year is being sold to painkillers. Why don't I have a piece of that action? And so they invent a new painkiller, which doesn't even remotely have any chance of being better than the old painkillers in terms of effectiveness, but has a reasonable chance of being more dangerous. And that's what got us into the trouble with Vioxx, with Bextra. We think Celebrex should also come off the market. We made public a hidden study that Pfizer did on Celebrex showing that it also caused an increased amount of heart attacks. So most of the drugs are Me Too drugs. The vaccine to prevent cervical cancer is a brand new drug, and I think we have to look at it very carefully. It has been evaluated quite well, I think, compared with a lot of other drugs at the FDA, and hope that it looks as good as it seems to be.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Doris, you have a question for our guest, Dr. Sidney Wolf.
Yes, Liz, good morning to your guest. I'd just like to let Dr. Wolf know that I've been had that book ever since it's been out, and also the inserts that when something new come out, they send you the inserts to put in it. But he's just proving what I've been believing in. For years, I believe the pharmaceutical company and the doctors are really making us sick. And also, we are used as experimental with all these drugs that's coming out. Just, you know, say, just take it. I sit in the doctor's office, and here come your rep with all kind of pills. They let your patients take it. And I just think a lot of them got poison in it, and it's killing us and making us sick. And it's a big money-making industry just like anything else. And that's my comment. I would like to
thank you
to the public.
Thank you, Doris.
Doris, we're glad you're using and being helped by our book, Worst Pills, Best Pills, and you're obviously getting the monthly newsletter, worstpills.org. The whole newsletter is also put up every month on our website, worstpills.org. And we also send emergency emails out to people that subscribe to tell them about some new problem that we don't even want them to wait 3 or 4 weeks until the next newsletter comes out. But the point is that we are trying to provide the kind of information that the FDA should be providing, that the industry is making too much money to provide. I mean, the industry is not going to go telling you this drug is causing a 4 or 5-fold increased risk in heart attacks, as Vioxx did, because it'll cut down on the multi-billion-dollar sales a year of Vioxx.
And we have to take a break here. I am talking to Dr. Sidney Wolfe. He's the director for Public Citizen Health Group, Health Research Group. He's joining me from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Washington. With the cost of the war in Iraq being paid in dollars we don't have and in human lives, some White House officials now say that maybe alternatives to democracy should be explored. The number of civilian casualties continues to climb, and Iraqi efforts to stop the violence between the factions is becoming a miserable failure, requiring more American troops in the capital city of Baghdad. This has caused the section of the country that had the most problems, Anbar province, to be almost completely handed over now to the insurgency. Administration advisors say the president is puzzled as to why the Shiites in southern Iraq are not more grateful to him for freeing them from the bondages of Saddam Hussein. And Dateline Detroit. A trial is underway in federal court that claims people were tricked into signing or collecting signatures on petitions that were going to prevent affirmative action programs from appearing on the November election ballots in Michigan. Witnesses have testified they were told the signatures were being gathered to keep affirmative action programs in the state because there was a movement to get rid of them. The Michigan Civil Rights Initiative seeks to do away with race and gender preferences in government hiring and admissions to public higher learning institutions. One lawyer in the matter offered testimony that he heard a petition circulator telling people to sign this in order to help get black kids into college. He said he confronted the circulator about it and was told he was getting paid for people just to sign it, and he didn't care what he did as long as he got paid. A ruling is supposed to come down before the September 8th deadline for printing up those ballots. This is your wake-up call global news update.
This is Judy Moskoff. Join me for A Gardener's Notebook every Monday at 12 noon on AM 920. Get useful tips on growing beautiful flowers and fresh produce. That's A Gardener's Notebook, Mondays at noon on AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Coming up on Mondays at 9, freelance writer and journalist Joe Wood talks about his book, Dirty Water. The work is a new nonfiction narrative that discusses the events surrounding a mysterious lynching that took place right here in St. Louis back in 1894. We'll also find out more about his artistic illustrations and other things that he's into. Don't miss Hometown Success Story Joe Wood, coming up on Mondays at 9. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour, joining us from Washington, D.C., is Dr. Sidney Wolf. He is the Director for Public Citizen Health Research Group. And welcome back, Dr. Wolf.
Well, welcome back. One thing I neglected to mention before is the reason that we are and have been concerned for 35 years about this increasingly dangerous link between the drug industry and the FDA is that there are 100,000 deaths in the United States alone every year from adverse drug reactions, 1.5 million hospitalizations. In other words, adverse drug reactions is one of the leading causes of death in the United States, swamping out auto accidents and many other causes of death. And most of it is preventable. If people were taking better drugs instead of the worst pills, they wouldn't be as likely to die or to be hospitalized. And it's really a tragedy because certainly antibiotics and other things have been an important element in people's health for certain kinds of things getting better. But what people haven't realized is they've also been a means of people dying and being hospitalized when they could have been healthier with less dangerous and often less advertised drugs. So again, worstpills.org is trying to reduce this toll of 100,000 deaths a year from adverse drug reactions and 1.5 million hospitalizations.
And with the connection and with the influx and the penetration, I guess, of the drug industry into the FDA, aren't we seeing, because if pharmaceutical companies are able to penetrate the FDA, pharmaceutical companies' goals are making more money. And in order to get more money, you need to exploit the market that you have and create new markets. And because they want to create new markets, is that the reason why we are seeing things like more and more drugs for children and even some requests for the ability to experiment on children with drug tests?
That's absolutely right. And it's not only more markets for newer drugs, but it's more markets for drugs that are just being refitted and retooled. For instance, there is now an official diagnosis called social anxiety disorder. Translated into English, this means shyness. So the FDA has actually given approval to a couple older drugs that were already on the market as antidepressants for treating shyness. And they're starting advertising and promoting the idea that if you're shy, there's something wrong with you, and we can fix it with our drug. So, yes, they're expanding markets. I mean, if you're a drug company and you have stockholders, you have a legal so-called fiduciary responsibility to make as much money as you can. And obviously, that kind of responsibility, unfortunately, trumps the interests of patients. I mean, they are trying to make as much money any way possible, including putting drugs on the market that everyone knew were dangerous but not telling them about it. They're trying to make as much money any way possible. I mean, we're talking about a $200 billion a year industry that year in, year out is amongst the most profitable industries in the country. The profit margin is almost 20%. It's over twice the profit margin of all the other industries in the country combined, and it's because they put on a white coat and they make it seem like we're just doing good. We're not doing any harm. And that's where the mistake occurs.
What is the difference between the PDR and worst pills, best pills?
Well, the PDR includes the drug company written and FDA approved descriptions of a drug. It often leaves out or minimizes information about the drug that might lead someone to say, you know, I don't want to take this drug. Worst Pills, Best Pills, or the website worstpills.org, really gives all the information, including information from FDA's files that somehow didn't make it into the PDR. So the PDR is really a paid advertisement.
Really?
The companies will pay to get their, I mean, at least what is in there is approved by the FDA, but based on what we've been talking about, the FDA approves a lot of official labels, which is what the PDR is, a collection of FDA-approved official labels for the drugs. The FDA approves a lot of these, originally written by the drug industry, and sometimes a few changes are made that really mislead about the drug's safety and the drug's effectiveness. So the PDR is an official document, but it's an official document that comes out of the combination of the drug companies and the FDA, a combination that is getting closer and closer all the time.
Are you going to see anything in the PDR that says that, oh, my God, don't ever use this drug?
No, you won't see that because the company would never allow the FDA to approve a labeling that was like that. The closest you will get is a black box warning saying, oops, this drug might cause this and this, but that a huge proportion of these black box warnings are for drugs that really should be off the market. And we've said over and over again that for a number of drugs, a black box warning is a pretty poor substitute for taking the drug off the market.
Are there drugs in the PDR that have black box warnings that don't make it to the PDR?
No. The PDR is only those drugs that are selling enough that the companies want to pay the FDA, or to pay the company that puts out the PDR to put their labeling in. So all the big selling drugs are all in the PDR, and if the FDA has required a black box warning, that will be in there. But as I said, a number of the drugs that were taken off the market were preceded by having a black box warning, and in many of these cases we said stop using the drug. Even though it has a black box warning, the right solution to this drug's problem is to get it off the market. And so you look back and say, how many people took this drug or that drug before it was taken off the market, even though it had a black box warning? So we have, in worstpills.org, we have the black box warnings, but we also have a long list, as you pointed out, 185 drugs that we say do not use in most cases for safety reasons, and we say turn to page 345 for the safer alternative.
Mm. So we have about 3 minutes left here, Doctor. Are there any, like, the top five drugs that you would just want? Give us a number. Give us the top five drugs that people really should know about and should really not be using.
Well, it's hard to pick out a top five because there are so many. But amongst the drugs that we have and are still trying to get off the market are, as I mentioned before, Celebrex, a huge-selling painkiller that was sold as it's gentler on your stomach. There is no evidence at all that Celebrex is any gentler on your stomach than ibuprofen, Advil, and so forth. It costs much more, and it causes heart attacks, clearly. So that's one of our top drugs. A cholesterol-lowering drug that's widely advertised direct to patients and to doctors called Crestor. It really isn't any better than the other cholesterol-lowering drugs, all of which we say, as long as they're prescribed properly, are fine. And it causes a higher rate of life-threatening, sometimes fatal, muscle damage. Another drug, which is an old drug, which we have been trying to get off the market for a long time, which everyone has heard of, is called Darvon. Darvon is one of the biggest selling drugs in the country, and it causes an estimated 200 accidental deaths a year in people because of heart problems.
Mm.
So those are amongst some of the bigger selling drugs that we say don't use, they're too dangerous. Watch one after one, they'll be taken off the market, and why should you become a victim between now and when they come off the market?
And, Doctor, isn't it a sign of the times that, you know, I know the names of these drugs are familiar, and I don't even use these drugs? It's a sign of the times and the sign of the advertising that's out there.
Yeah, it absolutely is. There's no question that these companies don't spend $5 billion a year, which is what they spend on direct-to-patient advertising. They don't spend it because they don't get their money's worth from it. They can predict that every time they spend a dollar or so on direct-to-consumer advertising, they're going to sell a dollar and a half or $2 worth of drugs.
Mm.
And they influence a lot of people. People go to their doctor and say, hey, I saw this on television. How come you're not giving it to me?
There you go.
And the careful doctors will say, I'm not giving it to you because I know that the drug is more dangerous. But too many doctors will say, okay, let's try it out. I don't want to resist your efforts to get me to prescribe a new drug for you, and that's the beginning of the end for a lot of these patients.
Dr. Sidney Wolfe, Director for Public Citizen Health Research, worstpills.org. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the wake-up call.
Nice talking to you, Liz. We'll do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I will be back with the author of Dark Water, Lynching here in Missouri in Valley Park. We're going to talk about that when we return in the next hour. Stay with me.
More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. Far from the prying eyes of cameras and reporters, John Mark Carr, the suspect in the JonBenet Ramsey murder, is alone in a small jail cell in L.A. after a long flight from Thailand that arrived very early this morning.
The camera crews on board made it not a nice flight, especially for 17 and a half hours.
Fellow passenger Robert Hawk, among those weighing in on Carr's guilt or innocence before he's even charged, crime novelist and forensics expert Patricia Cornwell.
To me, this is a crime of rage, and doesn't mean that somebody didn't come in the house and do it, but the ransom note is so incredibly staged to me.
Cornwell says the autopsy report on JonBenet is inconsistent with Carr's obsessional behavior. He's awaiting an extradition hearing to be brought to Boulder. President Bush speaking to reporters at this hour about the Middle East and other trouble spots. ABC's Ann Compton in Washington.
Here in the temporary press center across the street from the White House, President Bush has arrived with what his spokesman says is a lengthy opening statement on the situation in Lebanon. The current ceasefire has proven unsteady. The UN seems to be having trouble mustering a peacekeeping force, and humanitarian agencies are having trouble delivering aid. This news conference also comes on the eve of Iran's expected answer on its nuclear program.
Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, says Tehran will continue to pursue nuclear technology despite a UN deadline to suspend uranium enrichment by the end of the month or face possible sanctions. ABC's Azadeh Moavini in Tehran.
This is the first time that in this week at least that a top official has said that halting enrichment is out of the question. And the comments today from the supreme leader seem to confirm that Iran's response on Tuesday will not include any agreement to halt enrichment.
This is ABC News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For example, the 10 million saved is 10 million earned dynamic. Or the our month-end reports actually happen by the end of the month dynamic. Or the yes, I can forecast the revenue, no, I don't own a crystal ball dynamic. How do you manage these dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Criminal justice is one of America's fastest-growing career fields. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue exciting entry-level opportunities. At the ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice, they teach you the fundamentals of the criminal justice system. Classes meet just a few days a week, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 1-800-851-4499. 1-800-851-4499.
Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
In Midlothian, Texas, a day-long standoff ended with three police officers and a Texas state trooper recovering from gunshot wounds. The gunman dead, apparently, after shooting himself.
The standoff lasted about 8 hours. Finally, tactical officers, three groups of them, entered the apartment where this man had been holed up most of the day. Tear gas had failed to work. They had lost contact with him. Once inside the apartment, they found the man dead from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Police have interviewed the parents of the man who held police at bay and shot three officers and wounded a state trooper. They've told police they have no idea why their son did this, only that he was unemployed. Lance Ligas, ABC News, Midlothian, Texas.
At least 51 people were killed, more than 100 injured outside Cairo, Egypt, when a speeding commuter train collided with one that had stopped at a station. Shoes and blood-soaked clothing littering the platform. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom. This WGNU News report is brought to you by the Gateway Clean Air Program. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, a one-year-old chihuahua found last month with a zip tie around her neck and a swollen head remains in guarded condition. Dr. Melinda Fleming, the Assistant Director of Veterinary Services at the Humane Society of Missouri, says Charlotte is still suffering from heartworms, a heart murmur, and anemia. Fleming says the investigation into who abused Charlotte continues. In other news this morning, St. Louis University is one of the best colleges for the money. That's according to U.S. News & World Report's annual America's Best Colleges issue. John Borowski, SLU's Vice President of Enrollment, says it's an honor the school ranks 77th on the list. He says that has a lot to do with the financial aid and scholarships the university gives to students. This is the ninth consecutive year the university has made the list. The issue of U.S. News & World Report is on newsstands now. Finally, this hour, cranberries may be a natural alternative to preserving food. That's according to a new study at the University of Maine, which suggests cranberries provide protection against food poisoning. Study found cranberry concentrate can significantly reduce the growth of salmonella, E. coli, and other dangerous bacteria in beef. There are an estimated 76 million cases of food poisoning in the United States annually. That report comes on the heels of local health authorities' concerns about food poisoning during the long power outages last month. And that's an update of WGNU News for this hour. It's been brought to you by the Gateway Clean Air Program. The Gateway Clean Air Program, reminding motorists that the check engine light is a vehicle's way of saying it's time for a checkup. GatewayCleanAir.com. I'm Peyton Colston with a report of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Westbound 64 from Illinois 159 and 157, the vehicle accident, there's an overturned accident. The lanes are open now, but you may still see some delays. Northbound 55 at 4500 Broadway, there's an accident. Three left lanes are closed. Expect very long delays this hour. Southbound 270 at Dorset is closed due to an accident with a fire. Traffic backs up through St. Charles Rock Road. Looks like it's going to be a miserable day up in North County as well. Northbound 270 at Page, left lane's blocked partially due to an accident on southbound 270 at Dorset, and traffic jams through Olive. Eastbound 44 at Big Bend, a disabled vehicle. Center lane is blocked. Westbound 70 at 79 is closed due to an accident with fire, and traffic's backed up through 370. Eastbound 270 at Graham Hanley, look for a disabled vehicle partially blocking the exit ramp. Northbound 270 at Gravois, there's an accident reported. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed, and all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge this hour, you can expect some delays basically due to downtown rush. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Drive into Sonic for a new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito, crispy jalapeno strips, and spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday for today. Look forward to partly cloudy skies, high in the middle 80s for this evening. Partly cloudy skies with a low in the upper 60s for Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 80s, and Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 75. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news traffic, or your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I see like I'm hearing revolution in the air.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome, welcome to this week's edition of Mondays at 9. My name is Liz Brown. This week we are going to have a conversation with the author of Ugly Water, Joe Wood, and we're going to talk about his book that examines not just the issue of lynching, but also the issue of lynching right here in the backyard of St. Louis Valley Park. Joining us on the line is author of Ugly Water, Joseph Wood. Joe Wood, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Joe?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Ms. Brown?
I am outstanding. Joe, can you talk to us about what was the motivation behind this book, Ugly Water?
Well, actually, I was writing a piece for a class I was taking at the local community college, and I stumbled upon a story about a lynching that happened in St. Louis County about 110 years ago. And there really wasn't that much source material out there. There was nothing published about it after the event happened.
Well, describe the when you talk about when you get to the place of source material and stuff and
sure.
things written after the fact. Tell us about what it is that you laid your eyes upon. How big of an article was this? How tiny of an article was it? What did you lay your eyes up? What did your eyes fall upon?
This was front page news. St. Louis at the time had about five or six newspapers, and this was front page news on every newspaper. Every major headline in St. Louis on that morning, some even with illustrations of the lynching, appeared, and it was big news in St. Louis City and county.
And the headline in St. Louis in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, how did it read?
I believe in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, it said Buckner lynched. It was a story that had been covered for the last few days beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
There had been two assaults in St. Louis County. One was a rape, and the other was an attempted rape. And the suspect was a person that had just been let out of Missouri State Penitentiary about 12 or 13 months prior for a similar crime. And the victims of the assault were both neighbors of the suspect. So it was only about 24 hours that the, from the time of the rape until the time of the lynching, all that had already taken place.
And what I would like to do is we're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, I'd like for you to take us back to 1909 and talk to us about the place where this happened, Valley Park. I am talking this morning with Joe Wood. He's the author of Ugly Water. My name is Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
Cancer is the second leading cause of cancer-related deaths in men. Did you know that prostate cancer is the most common cancer diagnosed in African-American men? Did you know you could do something about it?
The 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, in conjunction with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Missouri and the Missouri Black Expo, will hold its fourth annual Prostate Cancer Survivors and Awareness Walk. We're leading the charge in providing our community with information about prostate health care. The one-mile walk will take place Saturday, August 5th, beginning at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Missouri at 1831 Chestnut and ending at the Missouri Black Expo at America Center. Everyone, men, women, children, families, and friends are invited to participate in this walk. Registration begins at 7 a.m. and the walk starts at 9. Free prostate cancer blood tests will be offered to all registered male walkers 35 years of age and older. So come on down and walk your way to good health.
For pre-registration and details, call 314-385-2100 or visit prostatecancerwalk.com.
Tuesday morning at 8, the wake-up call welcomes former Illinois Congressman Paul Finley to the microphone. He'll be discussing the influence that the Israeli lobby group has over policymaking in Washington. He recently wrote an op-ed piece that said the opponent to Representative Cynthia McKinney had gotten hooked up with the pro-Israeli fundraising network. The Israeli lobby helped defeat her 4 years ago, and she's lost again. You might be shocked at who's actually running things in Washington. Join former Congressman Paul Findlay Tuesday morning at 8 here on the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
What you say, for that I'll love you forever. You kept your word to me, for that I'll love you forever.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to this week's edition of Mondays at 9. My guest this morning is Joe Wood. He is the author of Ugly Water, the story that tells the tale of a lynching in Valley Park, Missouri. Joe, welcome back.
Hi.
Talk to us about, describe Valley Park 1909.
The lynching actually happened a little before that. It happened in 1894. In 1894, Valley Park was probably about 300 people out in St. Louis County. It was about 15 years after the city had separated from the county, and there were only about maybe three or four law officers that covered an area from Florissant all the way around to Valley Park, which is located out in southwest St. Louis County. So it was a small community. There were mostly farmers and businessmen. And right at the turn of the century, there's Valley Park was actually destined to be a great town. And certain things happened, the lynching and a few other things that happened, changed the destiny of the town.
Who were the people that inhabited Valley Park?
Some of St. Louis's most prominent citizens actually lived out in the county at that time. That was real estate heaven. at the time. The president of the St. Louis Bank, the St. Louis Steel Company, lived out in Valley Park. There was a man named Gerhard Timmerman who was a real estate broker later on, but early on he manufactured war material for the U.S. Army. So they were, I mean, they were, it was almost probably equivalent to Clayton, Clayton today. That's about what Valley Park was like at the time. But flooding and other things that had happened have devastated that community. That community is a very small town now.
And so let's stay with it in the turn of the century era. Let's talk about what it was like for black folks in Valley Park around the time of this lynching.
Valley Park was one of the few places where free ex-slaves actually owned their own land. The victim of the lynching, his family actually owned about 10 acres of land in Valley Park. He had two sisters and three brothers, and they were all farmers. He was a farmer. But it was actually probably more liberal in the day than it is today. Today it's very conservative.
Liberal from what perspective?
Well, I'd say as far as if you go back and you look at what was printed in the paper, Valley Park had its own newspaper at the time. And in the paper, quite commonly you would find statements such as, this is a progressive community. We welcome all races, immigrants of all backgrounds. And at the time it was very liberal-minded as far as social and economic.
At least from what they stated in their paper.
Right. I mean, if you go to Valley Park today, you will not see African Americans. If you went to Valley Park in 1894, they made up about 30% of the city.
But they eventually migrated to an area that many people know in the St. Louis area.
That's right, yes, Meacham Park, which many people know, sadly, because of the officer that was killed just last year.
And prior to that, the taking of the land of the people from Meacham Park and the annexation of Webster Groves.
Correct. And if you go to Valley Park today, there is an, I mean, it's, if you talk to locals, there's an inside joke. They have Section 8 apartment complex in the city where most of the African Americans who still reside in Valley Park live, and they refer to this apartment as Little Meacham.
Mm-hmm. So inside racist joke.
That's right.
So talk to us about the lynching component of this story. Why did you decide to write a story about it? You said that the story was well covered in the five newspapers, it was eight newspapers that existed at the time of this lynching. What is left to tell?
Well, actually, this is, I mean, if I had encountered this story and it had already been documented and covered in our time, I probably would not have wrote it. The fact that I went to historians that live in St. Louis and professors at the local colleges, and they had never even heard of this story, that really bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
This is a part of our history, and I think that when you hide part of your history, you fail to learn some of the lessons history has to teach.
So walk us through the story of this lynching. Where did it begin? Did it begin with the first arrest? Where did it begin?
Did it begin with the
fact that lynchings were part of the way that cities were policed?
That's one thing that you hit on that I would say. The time there was not the police presence that we pretty much take for granted today. I mean, I can sit on my porch and I'll see a cruiser come by at least once or twice a day. In the time, there was nowhere near that level of protection for people. If you were a farmer and you were 15 miles out from St. Louis, out in the county, you had to pretty much rely on yourself, your neighbors, and, you know, it'd take about an hour and 45 minutes for the sheriff in Clayton to get out to your farm. So that's pretty much what they had to face. And if they had, it began when John Buckner, who was the man who was lynched went to jail in 1889 for a rape, actually of an African-American school teacher in Valley Park. And it went on from there. When he was released early from prison, he returned to Valley Park.
He was young.
He was young. He was 17 mm-hmm. When he committed the first rape that he was actually sent away for.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got out of jail, actually when the lynching happened, I think he was only about 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been in town for a couple of weeks. He was staying with an uncle. And his next-door neighbor was an African-American woman. And that was the rape that he was actually lynched for.
So when we let's go back to the how the lynching happened. You talked a little bit about the absence of police presence. Surely there was also an energy and an understanding that lynching was an option.
That's correct, and I think there's a contemporary perception that lynching started around the turn of the century. Lynching goes back in this country to the Gold Rush. It goes back to California when you had all these people rushing out to California looking for gold. There was no police presence out there. It was simply free territory, or contested territory at the time. And people had to take it upon themselves to protect themselves and defend themselves and also to punish criminals. And at the time in St. Louis County was pretty much wilderness. So the lynching happened in a climate, not so much of racial hatred, which I think that's the traditionally accepted cause of most lynchings as far as the school of black history that's taught right now. But there are quite a few lynchings that happened in this period before 1900 that were actually African-Americans lynching African-Americans or assisting whites in lynching African-Americans, and this is one of those cases.
Well, and in terms of the statistical significance of those cases that you say that exist, surely they pale in comparison to those that were purely motivated by and absolutely motivated by the race of the individual.
Certainly, this is the exception.
So in terms of how do you cut out? How do you excise out race as a motivator for this particular lynching? How do you say that it is not about race?
Well, I don't think you can 100%. I mean, I think it would be dismissive to believe that. I think that what you have to do, though, is you have to keep an open mind and realize that you can't view the past by the perceptions of the past in the current day. I think that we have been bombarded, certainly since the 1960s, with a view of black history that's pretty—it's substantial, but it's very—I don't want to say the word narrow, but it's very single-minded. Whereas I think people are very reluctant to go back and explore black history from multiple perspectives. And I think that even though this is the exception, it shows that you can never say 100%. Lynchings were always against an innocent victim. Lynchings were always a result of and a climate of hatred. I think that it's very clear if you go back and you look at the evidence of this crime and what was documented that on every side people were going through what was a crime wave at the time, and that this was just the cultivation of what had built up in the community over a period of years.
But isn't every lynching a innocent victim?
Well, it depends on how you view lynching. If you're saying that everybody's entitled to a trial and is innocent to proven guilty, I agree with you.
Okay. So
But when you take into account that most of the lynchings that I was taught about when I grew up, and that's why on the back of the book I put everything you thought you knew about black history could be wrong. I think that what we are taught is not the full picture, and I think what I try to do is not try to say this happened, you know, more than we think, or this was the rule, not the exception. I think I clearly say in the book this was the exception. However,
but does
if
it,
you look at that time, There are a lot of things that are not covered and are not taught in the school of black history that's currently being taught, and I think that's very unfortunate.
But if, and we still have to get back to my original question of how do you excise out the issue of race in this lynching? How do you factor that out and say that it is not a majority, the majority, or the significant motivation for that? We have to get back to that question.
Sure.
But I also, another question that I have is that if, as you say, that it is, that this wasn't all that much about race, and if, as you have said, that that's really the teeny tiny part of what was the motivation for lynching, how is it a disservice to teach or to talk about what happened 99% of the time as the description of the experience of African people in this country? And let me get, we're going to take a quick break. I'll be back with the author of Ugly Water, Joe Wood. I'm Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. Please stay with us.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
The next time you're at the gas station, here's something to think about. You could be pumping more into your vehicle than fuel. You could be pumping millions of dollars into your local economy and reducing our dependence on the Middle East. Ethanol is a clean, renewable fuel made from corn, grown right here on our own state. It creates jobs, is good for the environment, and reduces our dependence on foreign oil. When we use ethanol, Missouri wins. A message from Missouri corn growers.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Been keeping up with all the speculation surrounding the recent illness of Cuban President Fidel Castro? Is there about to be a regime change of sorts? Tuesday morning at 7, Ricardo Alarcón, the president of the Cuban parliament, joins Liz Brown on the wake-up call to talk about what is really happening in that part of the world. Will Castro step aside? Is there a Central and South American alliance in the works? Does American policy have the same impact in the region that it once had? These and more topics for discussion with Ricardo Alarcón, president of the Cuban parliament, Tuesday morning at 7 with Liz Brown. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Cafeteria line in Chicago. Fat man in front of me. He's calling black people trash to his children. He's the only treasure I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip through their windows and they'll see him. And
They'll think that white hood's all they need. It's a hard life, it's a hard life, it's a very hard life, hard life wherever you go. And if we poison our children with hatred, then the hard life's all that they'll know.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to this week's edition of Mondays at 9. My guest of this hour is Joe Wood. He's the author of Ugly Water, the tale of lynching here in Missouri, Valley Park to be specific. Joe, welcome back. The question that I asked prior to our break, just before we went to break, was you made the comment that the lynching of Mr. Buckner was maybe I need you to specifically state your premise on the issue of race and how race factored into the lynching of Mr. Buckner.
Sure, sure. Of course, race is always a factor when you're dealing with an African American that's been lynched. What I think separates this case from anything that I have ever seen before is that this is a case where you have a victim of lynching who's African American. You have participants in the lynch mob, principal participants who are also African American. You have a victim of a crime for which this man is being lynched who is African American. Now that is just a subject that I have never even heard or encountered before in any of the tales of lynching, especially if you go and you look at the principal work by Mrs. Wells Barnett. If you look at basically anything that's in a library or anything that's currently being taught.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you said, well, how do you excise race from this? I don't.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is maybe I try to approach this from both sides. I think you have to, if you're studying anything in history, I think you have to try to understand all of the perspectives. I don't think you can only focus on one. And I understand and I appreciate that 99% of lynchings were race-related. The intentions of the mobs had something deeper to do with race. But I think that if you go back and you look at all of the material that's out there on this incident, which I did, and I approached this thinking, assuming that this would be all about race, and I had to confront what was there. And what is there is that these people were very concerned about crime. They were very concerned about when they went to work, that when they returned, the women at their houses would be raped. And the reason was is because people were becoming victims of rape in the neighborhood.
If I'm understanding you correctly, the presence of black people as part of the lynching mob suggests that this is not about race.
Well, I think from a dozen probably different perspectives you could say that. I think that you can't assume anything from that. I don't think you can assume anything about this story. And that's what made it so interesting, and that's why there aren't... I pretty much leave it up to the reader to make up their mind for themselves.
I'm trying to understand the question of it.
Sure.
Because if there are white people, and the overwhelming majority of people that made up this mob were black or white, the majority
of the mob was mostly white, yes.
Okay, and overwhelmingly white.
Yes, but the victim of the crime for which he was lynched was an African-American woman. His former victim was an African-American woman. These people were described in the community mm-hmm. were refined and well-respected. Now, if you go to a local black history course, that would sound ludicrous in a local black history course. I know because I've taken several. And if you go into a course,
why would it sound ludicrous in a black course?
Because in the classroom, that is so far from what is being taught.
But
it would be laughed at.
But if it is a minority part of the story, if it makes up the...
Well, minorities should always be considered, don't you agree?
Well, it depends upon what you're using the discussion of the minority to do. If you are trying to describe an incident or a condition in its entirety, one will always be able to find exceptions to every condition.
I think that's not being taken into account, though.
But an attempt to describe the condition in terms of the exception is really problematic, and problematic particularly when it comes to describing the history of people of African descent, to use this exception.
I don't mean to interrupt, but mm-hmm. I think that when you are looking into a historical event, you have to pretty much go with the primary sources, what was documented, and you have to let the chips fall where they may. Now, I did not want to make any assumptions about this incident, and that's why I don't draw the types of conclusions that I think, you know, it seems to me that I think you must believe that I have drawn assumptions that this had nothing to do with race, and that's just not true, because I have a whole chapter on that.
My question is what you are using this story with after the fact, and in comparing it to how black history is told. And the question of how black history is told black history should never be told, or a condition within
right.
the telling of black history should never be told as the what happened in an exception of the case.
Well, I would say that in one respect, I'm surprised the story has never been told, and I'd like to know why. I have a few assumptions about that. And I think that any event in history, whether it be black history or American history, period, I don't think you should hide your history. I think it should be out in the open for people to review and to examine. And that's what I do here, is I found a story, and I thought, this is a story that has not been told. It's not a story that's been argued, and I think I need to spark an argument.
Well, what's the argument? Tell me what the argument piece of it.
The argument is history valid, whether it fits in with the current view of history that we hold?
And what is
if we find other things about black history that is simply not true?
Well, what is the current history that is told right now with respect to history that is made somehow skeptical or invalid or questioned as a result of this story?
I think that's just the thing, is that it's not being told. It's being skipped past.
Well, you're drawing the assumption that it's being skipped past.
The world that this lynching happened in, mm-hmm. people come away with a view that is very narrow. It is not. It has no depth, virtually. I mean, when you discuss lynchings that happened in the 1890s, you basically think of one image, and then you move on to something else. And it's part of a whole school that is taught and has been taught for 30 years.
How is it narrow to have an understanding of something that happened 99% of the time like it did? How is that narrow?
Because I don't think it takes away from the understanding to know that 1% of the time it didn't happen.
But surely it's not narrow to have an understanding of a history that happened a certain way 99% of the time.
But,
that's hardly
narrow.
But Mrs.
Brown, wouldn't you agree that most young people do not care about the subject? And there needs to be a discussion, not a conclusion drawn by this book or this story. It needs to be a discussion out there that young people
care about what subject.
Stimulated by the subject, and they are not stimulated by the same story told over and over and over.
Well, I would submit to you that most people, most children, most adults have never been taught about lynching in America. I would submit to you that.
Oh, I agree.
So to suggest that, and again, to get back to this word that you use that is mystifying to me, to say or to describe an understanding of a history that happened a certain way 99/9 of the time, as a narrow view is problematic. It's not a narrow view to understand something that has happened a certain way 99% of the time.
Ms. Brown, the 99% statistic you are relying on is just as valid as what I am putting forth in this book. I rely on newspaper reports, archival material from the Missouri Historical Society,
mm-hmm.
All this census data, I mean, vital records, everything that I could put my hands on. When Ida Wells wrote her A Red Record 100 years ago,
mm-hmm.
she based it all on the same evidence that I'm basing my research on,
mm-hmm.
which is newspaper accounts and vital statistics and data collected. And that's all I'm doing, is I'm trying to propose an alternative perspective. I'm not saying that the 1% should rule out the 99. What I'm saying is equally valid to respect a story in history for what it is.
But it's not this. When you use the word narrow to describe the understanding that other scholars have had on this issue, and then that history has shown us that this is the way that it has happened in 99% of the time, suggests that you are saying that this story has more value or should be in another way. When you describe it as valid.
I think that it should be valid, and I think that it is valid. And I think that if you think that 99% should overrule 1%,
mm-hmm.
I think that runs against some of the feelings of the founders of this country. I think that any minority event should be studied. It should be studied. It should be
valid.
You're saying it's not.
I'm saying that in terms of understanding lynching and all of the motivations behind lynching,
we should leave one motivation out.
Let me finish my statement.
Attention to the 99%.
Well, let me finish my statement.
Sure.
What I'm saying is that in order to understand lynching, that who would within the community of African descent,
yes,
to suggest that a story like this, to suggest that the understanding of how lynching has occurred in 99% of the time is a narrow view or is a view that negates anything else is absurd.
Okay, I think I understand. But I think if you're approaching my book trying to understand 99% of lynching, that's not what I'm trying to accomplish here. I'm trying to tell a story that happened that's factual and based on evidence. I'm not trying. If somebody's coming to me and they want to know 99% of why lynchings occurred, I would say race hatred. But if they want to know what happened in St. Louis County in 1894, I'm going to tell them the story as it happened, as far as I know. And that's what I tried to do.
Okay, and we're going to take a break, and we're going to get to some of our callers at 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Joe Wood, the author of Ugly Water. I will be back. Stay with us.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Washington. A new law put into place this week was supposed to help guarantee that traditional pension programs remained viable. But the new Pension Protection Act may actually turn out to be their death. Some 40 million U.S. workers and retirees are covered by plans that promise a set amount at retirement. But over the last 20 years, such defined pensions have been declining. The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, a department of the federal government, steps in and provides money for pension plans that are underfunded or misused. But it currently operates in the red itself because it has had to fund huge programs for companies that went bankrupt. The new law the president signed last week puts limits on risks to the PBGC. It puts the onus on employers to keep their funding of such programs current and take care of 100% of future liabilities. It also requires companies that get behind to correct their deficit in just 7 years instead of taking the current 30 years. These and other parts of the law will likely make defined benefit retirement programs too costly for employers to even offer. And Dateline London, a new report is also out saying the supply of fresh water around the world could be nearly exhausted within the next 10 years. Analysts who work for several major corporations and whose companies depend heavily on water supplies say demands will increase from countries who are more wealthy and those who are developing.
This 3-year study suggests people are likely to begin migrating to Europe from Asia and Africa. And there could also be civil unrest and wild economic changes in China and other third world countries should the water supplies become critically depleted. The price of water could rise by 50% in order to meet the need for food growing. The study also points out that the situation could create new technology for water conservation as well. This is your wake-up call global news update.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me right after the 10 o'clock news here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Judy Moskoff. Join me for A Gardener's Notebook every Monday at 12 noon on AM 920. Get useful tips on growing beautiful flowers and fresh produce. That's A Gardener's Notebook, Mondays at noon on AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8, the wake-up call welcomes former Illinois Congressman Paul Findlay to the microphone. He'll be discussing the influence that the Israeli lobby group has over policymaking in Washington. He recently wrote an op-ed piece that said the opponent to Representative Cynthia McKinney had gotten hooked up with the pro-Israeli fundraising network. The Israeli lobby helped defeat her 4 years ago, and she's lost again. You might be shocked at who's actually running things in Washington. Join former Congressman Paul Findlay Tuesday morning at 8 here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
For the millions of Africans chained to the slave ships, for the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip, for the millions who jumped overboard, for the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to this week's edition of Mondays at 9. My guest is this hour is Joe Wood, author of Ugly Water. Joe, we have some folks on the line that want to ask you some questions.
Okay,
get to that. Barbara?
Yes, good morning, Liz, and good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Yes, I was just going to ask, did the author of the novel we're discussing consider that African-Americans had only been out of slavery for a few years then, and maybe some people that have the same kind of ties as Condoleezza does to President Bush, since they were in the minority, might have been paid to do this or coerced to do this to keep their little 12 acres. I just wondered, did he consider that?
Thanks for your call and question.
Well, I think to respond to what she said, the last part of your question, I think if you read the book and you read about the woman who was raped who was an African-American, the family had pretty much been terrorized, and that's from her own mouth. A doctor attended her. This was not something that was invented. This was not any kind of payoff. These were simple working people out in basically the wilderness. And neighbors respected each other at that time. I know that we have a view that, you know, you mentioned, well, slavery had only been gone a few years. Well, a few years, I don't know. That was about 30 years after that. The fact that, like I said, the first victim was a black teacher in Valley Park. The fact that there was a black teacher in Valley Park, I don't think most people realize that there were black taught schools in 1894.
But they weren't teaching
St. Louis County,
they weren't teaching white children. They were teaching black children.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that, no, I think a lot of people understand that there were plenty of black teachers out there that taught, that were teaching black kids.
And I think a lot of people have the misconception too that you can't find anything out about African American heritage or culture from the 19th century. I think that's a misconception, and I think it also makes young people not tend to look. I think that if you look, there is information out there waiting to be found.
But you know what the problem is in all of this assertion of what a person felt, what a person thought?
Well, they wrote it down.
Well, I understand that, but what's missing...
it a conspiracy? They wrote it down.
Well, if you let me answer, I'll tell you what I'm saying. As an attorney, what I am saying is that what is missing is that we can have people write things down all day long, but what a court determines and what a court is able to bring in and what evidence is able to be introduced is missing in all of this.
Well,
so the conclusion that we're drawing, that there is absolute guilt, that there is the witness said this, other witnesses didn't say this, we don't have this because this was a lynching.
Well, you have to separate my personal opinion of this story. You have to realize I researched this story the last 3.5 years. I've lived and breathed this material, and my personal opinion differs from the book. If you read the book, I do not draw a conclusion. I let the reader decide based on what I provide, and what I provide, I think, is very fair and balanced.
And again, what I'm saying is that when we go to the place of drawing a conclusion about what crime took place and what crime didn't take place, what we have missing from the ability to draw that conclusion is a trial because the person was lynched.
Well, the ironic thing about that is after he was lynched, there was what was equivalent to a trial. they found him guilty. I mean, I know that sounds like a cliche.
No, it's not a cliche.
It's the hands of unknown people. But the thing is,
that's not a trial. That's not a trial, Joe. That's not a trial.
But listen. I know that this is. You have African American victims who were attended by doctors. Who, I mean, what do you think? They just made it up and said, well, let's do like what happened in New York. We'll have somebody assault themselves and then have Al Sharpton get up and talk about it and say, oh, there's an outcry, you know. This was not one of those events. This was something where two women were assaulted and they were victims of crime. And mm-hmm. now, you know, what you're trying to...
No, I'm just asking for the American way, Joe. I'm just asking for the American way before we decide.
Case, and I'm saying for that to have happened in this specific case, you would have had to have a huge conspiracy, and I don't think that the people at that time, at that place, had the luxury to just sit around and say, well, I feel like lynching somebody. Let's go try to recruit some African Americans in the neighborhood.
I think Emmett Till's mother would disagree with you about the depth and the ease that people find conspiracies and engage in conspiratorial actions to cover up crime. I think Emmett Till's mother would disagree with you.
Money, Mississippi, and what happened there to Emmett Till is totally different than this case, and you know that.
No, the point that you were making is that it would have been impossible for a conspiracy to have occurred.
But
my point with Emmett Till is that conspiracies do occur.
I think many African Americans and even I would be, kind of disgusted for you to just compare Emmett Till, who was an innocent little boy who whistled at a woman, perhaps, with a man who had already been sent to jail for rape at 18.
And again,
how could you compare Emmett Till?
You're not listening
to
what I'm saying, Joe. You're not listening to what I'm saying. You said that it is impossible for a conspiracy to have occurred in this case. And I said Emmett Till's mother would disagree with you about the possibilities of conspiracies being engaged in to cover up a crime.
And I'll repeat what I said. This is not money, Mississippi.
And it doesn't have to be Mississippi for conspiracies to occur.
But I think you're really just being painting with a broad brush. I don't think you're taking into account, for one thing, what happened to Emmett Till happened in the 1950s. They happened in the 1950s in Mississippi, in a town where there was a certain cultural discipline that African Americans were expected to adhere to. He did not, and that was what caused that, as far as we know. What I am talking about is raping young women, old women who are African Americans, and getting justice for it.
Ouch. Justice for it. Okay. We're going to let that be the last word. Joe Wood, author of Ugly Water, thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many